that? Open space should be one in there. Any in your package? There've been three in your package.
I had this one. Where'd it go? This one. This one.
Conference room. Right there.
Open space. Mm-hmm.
4-hour meeting.
I didn't get 3 hours.
That had to get.
Okay.
And I'm not totally done them yet. And then I had another 1 hour one after that.
I just want to make sure I didn't miss something.
No, I won't let you.
Okay. The vacant building ones are done.
Mm-hmm. They're already in effect.
Just so everybody will know, I had the last meeting on a Monday night. That Wednesday night, we had a 4-hour hearing. That I had to get started in the minutes for, so council minutes are not caught up. But I promised to get them out.
That's fine.
But the organization,
we're
not here, but that 4-hour meeting just.
We understand. Ain't enough damn time to do.
For the hearing, public hearing, right? Mm-hmm. Or do they just do it for?
Only if I can go.
We did it.
Do it for
we
this
did
too,
it.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
But don't have to do the prayer.
Right.
Do the prayer.
That's what we've been doing.
Been doing the prayer mm-hmm. both times.
Mm-hmm.
So how you doing?
I told you.
Mm-hmm. They never hurt like that. My brother's going to be
calmed on that. Now, I've ordered her a sign when everybody else is coming in.
Mm-hmm. Tell them to ask for discussion. I can't have this going on down here. Okay. Sorry. I'm sorry. But we're coming down on the audience. We got to come down on.
Yeah, and apply me.
That'll get their attention in about 20 minutes.
I don't like them.
I don't trust the way Camaro works.
They probably never read them.
They never better go with 100.
Next thing is he was going to get me something.
Okay. Alright. Ready? Well, you got about a minute.
Yeah, I know we have it. With the correction on it or something else added.
That one. That, no, that just
let's get it.
The one
striker.
Good guys. Yeah.
Good evening. It's May 21st, and tonight is our public hearing. We're going to start with a Pledge of Allegiance to the flag.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If we could just get a minute of silent prayer, please, or a second. Thank you.
For the benefit of the audience and the council, about at least 6 months ago, I guess, maybe a little bit longer, Mr. Presley, I'm not quite sure. It seems like a long time.
Yes, it does. The
council asked staff to see if we could get some assistance from some of the leading engineering firms who work in Smyrna and do work involving either our zoning ordinance or our subdivision ordinance, and put together an ad hoc committee to begin a review of the town zoning ordinance and the town subdivision or land development code. We ask Erica Schrader from Hudson Jones to be a member of that committee, Sabina Watson from KCI, who are our engineers, and then our planning staff, and a representative from Cairns Associates, a representative from Becker Morgan, and a representative from Davis Bone and Fidel volunteered to work with us on this project, which is a tremendous commitment on their part to give us the time of key people to go through the ordinance, basically kind of a page-by-page, definition-by-definition process. As I said, this has been going on about 6 months now, maybe a little bit longer. We've reviewed a number of proposals and issues relating to the zoning and land development codes. The committee agreed a couple of months ago that while we were making substantial progress, that we still had some tough work to do, particularly defining terms and creating some matrices, if you will, or tables, showing what kinds of land uses were permissible in which zone, and coming up with some illustrations and other materials. So the committee agreed that we ought to move some of these things forward to the Planning and Zoning Commission and ultimately to Council about a little over a month ago, I guess, shortly prior to the election. Committee recommended that I bring forward to Council proposed amendments to the zoning ordinance dealing with signs and the definition and regulations relating to hotel and conference centers as a distinct use separate from hotel and motel, and a new set of provisions dealing with the dedication of open spaces in subdivisions. Those ordinances were brought forward to you as ordinances 003-07, 004-07, and 005-07, and at the recommendation of council were sent to the Planning and Zoning Committee or Commission, who has had them for approximately a month and reviewed them the other night. And on the table in front of you is a brief memo from Janet simply indicating that Planning and Zoning did review and discuss the proposed ordinances. And the chairman of the Planning and Zoning Commission is here, and one of the members of the Planning and Zoning Commission is here, so I think it would be appropriate for them to make any comments that they also have. Would remind Council that these are text amendments to the ordinances, which means that they are recommended to Planning and Zoning. They come from Planning and Zoning with a recommendation or comments, and then they require a public hearing and a single public hearing and one action by Council. They're not subject to the three reading rule. They're not part of the general ordinances. So on the agenda tonight is a recommendation to approve these of these three ordinances. You will be getting in June a fairly comprehensive set of definitions and some procedural guidelines, and I'm not sure, we have some other parts of the ordinances that we'll be working on, but probably every month for the next 2 or 3 months you'll see a set of changes to these ordinances coming forward to go to Planning and Zoning. I recognize that that's a little it kind of breaks the ordinances into little pieces. It may be hard to see the sort of the entirety of the changes, but they are pretty extensive, and in order to not overwhelm the Planning and Zoning Committee and to be able to get those parts that we're comfortable with adopted, we believe that this is the appropriate way to go. With that, I'd like to ask Erica if she has any comments or questions, because she's been part of the team, and then if Madam Mayor, if it's okay, I'd like to ask Mr. Neiser to comment relative to the ordinances, if that's proper.
Just to echo what Dave said, the committee has been working for
several months going through essentially page by page and word by word, assessing the current zoning and subdivision and land use ordinances to try to make them more user-friendly. And I think the legislation that you're presented with today certainly moves us towards that. And I applaud the volunteer members of the committee who've come forward to assist Smyrna in revamping these complex ordinances so that it's going to become a more streamlined process, not only for citizens and developers who are attempting to use, who are moving through the process, but also to assist staff and help in things becoming a more smooth process. So if anyone has any questions about any of the legalities of anything that we've done here, I'd be happy to address those questions as well.
I have one question. Grandfather clause. I didn't see anything in there in this about anything that's currently in place that covers them. I mean, would the ordinance be retroactive?
The ordinance wouldn't be retroactive, but anything that exists now would be considered a legal non-conforming use.
So they'd have to adjust it?
No.
Now, if there was to be a change of some sort in the future, the change would most likely have to conform to the new ordinance, depending on the extent of the changes.
Erica, one of the issues that brought this up a while ago was the concept of banners on buildings. And in reading the ordinance, does that fall under a temporary sign?
Honestly, I didn't review this immediately before this meeting, but that was my that's my recollection of what the discussion was.
Okay. That was our intent, was to create a category or a type of sign called a temporary sign that would address those kinds of issues.
So we're on the sign one first.
I have another question. Under D, where it says not permissible at any time in the zoning district. Under A, it says flags, banners, and twirling A-type sidewalk.
Apply to the businesses that Pemberton has an A-type sign that they put out front, so they cannot put it there any longer? Is that what that means?
We actually have a provision in, is it the general ordinances or the zoning ordinance? There is an exception for the sidewalk-type signs that this issue came up year or 2 years ago now. I can't remember, and I know the that's a question we can certainly take a look at, but the intent was that those kinds of signs, as long as they didn't block traffic, as long as they didn't block the sidewalk, that they're they are already covered in the ordinance, they're allowed basically.
I think it's important that we clarify that, because there are several places around town that use it, like for menu boards and things like that. So, yeah.
So that's why it contradicts what is allowed to what isn't.
Right.
I have a couple of questions on it. Dave, you said something about temporary signs, but there isn't anything in here relating to that. At least not the way I read it. And the other thing is this ordinance specifically addresses more commercial areas and commercial signage. There's one section that permits political signs. On page 4, political party candidates seeking public office, provided that signs are removed within 10 days from post-election. And reading through this, there isn't anything in there that gives a homeowner a right to place a sign on his property for hardly any reason. Would that be considered a temp sign, or?
Actually, the one of the sections that you'll see coming up next is we just reviewed the other day a draft ordinance dealing with home occupations, and on the home occupations provisions include provisions dealing with what kind of signage is allowed. So if somebody had a woodworking shop in their house, or a CPA who did, you know, taxes or whatever, there are provisions in the home occupation provisions that relate to residential districts. So I say one of the problems with this, unfortunately, is we are looking at parts of it independently, but trying. This is primarily dealing with, you know, the commercial kinds of signs that are specifically identified under the section of the ordinance that says signs. That's part of our.
In the temporary signs, it says under D that temporary signs more than 14 days.
Right.
So you can put one up for 14 days, but not anymore.
With the real estate, under the real estate part of it, for sale by owner, would that fall under real estate?
I'm sorry, what page are you?
I'm not on a page.
You're not on a page, okay. I'm
sorry.
Nine
on page.
Yeah, real estate signs, I mean any sign unlighted not more than 25 square feet in area and advertising only a sale. That would include a sale sign by a real estate sign would be a real estate sign. It would be sale by owner, sale by Keller Williams, sale by whomever. It's a real estate sign.
Okay. And I had two other questions on I had printed the one off the website, so I assume it's the same as
it
this.
It should be.
No signs in residential areas shall be illuminated. That's in.
Right.
Shouldn't be lit.
Mm-hmm. I know a lot of the real estate signs now are coming with the little lights on them. Coming on up at night.
Yes. The way this is drafted, they would not be permitted.
Not permitted.
So if that's something council is concerned about and wants to address, then. That's part of why we need to bring some of these things to you and get them in the review and discussion, because there are, I mean, and those are policy kinds of decisions. I mean, it's like the marquee signs, the ones that, you know, change. Dover had a big problem with them for a couple of years, and you know, they're a very effective marketing mechanism, but they are distracted with people driving down the highway, and it's become policy issues.
And my second question was under D, where it says the flags, banners, and flower, balloons, or air or gas filled. Is that going to take into consideration the Christmas things that people put up?
No, because Christmas eliminated holidays.
Where's that? I didn't see that. Where's that one?
D9.
D like boy.
B.
Okay.
They're exempt from regular. We tried to identify as many things that we, you know, specifically that would be exempted. In that fashion.
Dave, do you think if we just take the sign one tonight and just hold it off on it?
I mean, that's really up to you. I would like Mr. Neiser or whomever, I guess Mr. Neiser, if you would like to comment on any issues or concerns of Planning and Zoning Commission, that you actually considered this as well. And then if you would like to take more time, that's also fine to do.
My biggest concern with the sign ordinance, well, I have two concerns, but one of my biggest concerns is restricting a homeowner from putting a sign in his window, and not just a sign for a house sale or something.
It's in the residential district, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Any district, any residential zoning, it doesn't really matter. I don't want to restrict a homeowner's right to express his feelings on any subject. I mean, our right to free speech is very important. And with the zoning ordinance, the way I read it now, except for the 14-day requirement, you can't put up any sign on your premises, either in your premise or outside of it, other than what is specifically mentioned in this ordinance. And I don't want to put any restriction on any person from putting out his opinion or his feeling.
I hate to
bring it up because I know, and everybody in the audience is probably thinking of it. Okay, I'll say it. Prior elections, emotions ran high, feelings ran high, opinions ran high, and the people expressed those opinions with certain flags and banners and signs, and I think they need to be allowed to do that. I mean, it's more political side, but
I don't see a restriction here. A poster or sign in a window in a residence. That's different than posting a sign in a yard.
Well, it's not specifically spelled out, and if we're not going to restrict it, then I think we need to specifically spell it out in the ordinance.
I think that your reading is a very restrictive reading of the ordinance. If you
could be, could be.
I think I know. I read something about that too, Gene.
It's
part
it's
that we're reading into. It
you're just reading more.
It's too many hours reading law books and case law is what it is.
Mr. Neiser, when the Planning and Zoning Commission considered this ordinance the other night, did you have any comments or concerns about some of these issues that council should know of?
No, because, number one, this all this had been, like you said, been in the works for 6-8 months. And when we went through it, it just looked so beautiful that the team, whatever the team, whoever was involved in the team that put it together, and actually it knocked us off our feet because these are so many things are addressed that came up at one time or another over the past years, and it led not only the business people but developers and anything else that left them hanging. We were impressed with the ordinance change on both A, B, and C. And we had no comments to make other than, nice job, everybody. Congratulations. I know you had many people that spent many hours on it, and we are very satisfied. Anything else, sir? That's it?
Unless somebody has some questions of Mr. Neiser or the Planning and Zoning Commission.
The only other thing I'd like to do is congratulate all the new members. Nice going. Hang in there. Good luck.
Thank you. Let me comment quickly on the other two. The second one that before you is a provision that relates specifically to regulation of hotel and conference centers. We felt that given some of the interest in Smyrna, that we need to make a distinction between the what one considers a sort of standard hotel motel kind of building and something like the Sheridan Inn or the Dover Downs facility that are really, hotels which have large meeting and other kinds of spaces associated with them, because they have a very different impact on transportation and on utility use than the standard hotel motel would have. Hotel motel generally is, people come, it's kind of a destination, it's busy, the parking lot's full typically at night, but then it's otherwise... It's 100 rooms. It's probably 100 vehicles. Hotel conference center could have, two or three times as many vehicles for the conference facilities as it does for hotel, at very different times, and so that's why we wrote that particular provision. And then the open space requirements, one of the things we heard from both the engineers who work for the private sector and from our own staff was that we really didn't have a very clean set of provisions dealing with open space, and so that's what this ordinance was drafted to deal with. As a public hearing, Madam Mayor, you should ask for comments from anybody in the public, pro or con, who has an interest in this area as well. And then if you want to defer one or all of them to a later date, you don't have to do that now. You do that when they come up on the agenda.
Any discussion on the hotel?
Mr. Hogg, is there a conference center, hotel conference center on the rise here in Smyrna? Is there one being built?
Let's just say that I've been approached by at least two groups of individuals who have used those terms, who have talked about something, not the standard hotel kind of thing, but something more akin to, say, the Sheridan Inn, which has substantial conference centers. We haven't gotten any applications, but in this arena, it's better to be prepared than...
Is there anything on the comprehensive plan to allow for it?
It's simply a permissible highway commercial or IORP use. And right now, someone could come in the door, say, hey, we want to build a conference center. We want to build it out on the highway, and we don't have any regulations. So in order to kind of protect ourselves from that, the impacts of that kind of use, just to protect ourselves, adequately deal with those kinds of impacts.
Did you compare the ordinance that you came up with, did you compare that to other towns, or was it just something that...
No, that's... Erica did a lot of this background work, and...
Turn your mic on.
We could not find any local ordinances that dealt with this issue specifically, so we did have to reach out to other states and other municipalities not within Delaware. So we did research how other municipalities have handled the situation, and this ordinance was modeled on, I believe, a combination of a few ordinances from New Jersey towns, and I believe one from Florida. So,
Mr. Hugg, the hotel that's being built now, do you have any idea how many rooms it has in it?
75, I believe it is.
72, something like that.
Okay, and what size lot is that? Do you have any idea? What I'm trying to get
is... acre and a half, maybe 2 acres, something on that order. It's far smaller than this. It also doesn't have the conference room, meeting room, dining facilities that would be regulated.
I'm just trying to gauge the 5-acre minimum requirement here, which seems
to... So it would be twice the size of the hotel that they're building and basically twice the size of the land is what they're asking for.
Essentially,
acre minimum. And you said that's about 2 acres?
No.
What's out there now is probably...
Actually, it's probably less than an acre.
Less than an acre.
Yeah, I would say it's probably not
more than 3/4. Just going to make sure 5 acres.
We looked at the Sheridan. The Sheridan's only on 3 acres, two or 3 acres. So you could get a pretty substantial hotel on a relatively small site if you didn't deal with it separately, which is what we tried to do.
I did have time to do a little bit of research on this as far as the parking requirements kind of concern me a little bit. And it looks like this is pretty much standard fare. The five acres is a little bit larger than other municipalities throughout the country require. But as far as the parking spaces, I think we're pretty conservative in that regard. So,
anyone else have any questions on the?
I just had a comment about. I guess my concern is no building shall be taller than 40 feet on a minimum of 5 acres with a minimum of 150 guest rooms with a conference center. Why would we want to? I guess why would we want to discourage somewhere like the Hampton Inn or somewhere like the Sheridan from coming on the outskirts of town or on the highway where it could possibly have the conference center? where we already have a hotel going up that doesn't have all those things. It's smaller, and it's on much less acreage.
Problem with the conference center is really the fact that you can end up with 100 rooms with guests in them and 200 or 300 people attending a conference or a trade show or whatever, and a restaurant that's doing major business, all packed into a very small space. And the way this is written and the way the rest of the ordinance that relates to hotels and motels is written doesn't prevent them from having a small restaurant or a small meeting room, but it sets a pretty high standard that if you want to call yourself a conference center, you know, you've got to make that investment in 5 acres. You've really got to be a facility designed to handle conferences. There are 2 or 3 locations on the highway where this kind of use could fit comfortably and be very effective. One particularly at the North Interchange and another one at near Carter Road, where, you know, there's at least 5 acres, there's plenty of access, and this kind of use would fit. The 45-foot is something we've wrestled with, not only here, but in some other provisions that you haven't seen. One reason for keeping the building at something on that level is that it, you know, there's a firefighting issue that comes up as the building gets taller, and, you know, the question of whether there are adequate pumps and sprinklers and everything else. We've also always had a kind of unwritten rule, if nothing else, in Smyrna, that 45 feet, 3 stories, is basically the maximum height of buildings we permit in town. Christiana Care is 3 stories. The Opera House is 3 stories. Doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, maybe we ought to think about 4 stories or 5 stories or 6 stories, but the notion that we're trying to keep still some sense of scale. You know, do you want, I mean, and that's a policy issue council needs to make as well. You know, the Sheraton is what, 7 stories? 6 stories, 7 stories?
7.
And
just to interrupt, I'm sorry, Mr. Hub, but this ordinance is written for not to exceed
60 feet.
Okay, so we did make that change. We did make that.
The committee contemplated the possible future sites for potential facilities like this, and it didn't seem inappropriate.
Right. Okay. I stand corrected. That was a long discussion. I wasn't sure what we came out.
And
okay.
I believe the fire department, the ladder truck, and also I think the max bucket truck they make. The ladder truck I think goes up to 75 feet, and a max bucket truck I think is 80 feet. So you get much beyond that. Is that right, Curtis? 100 feet on the ladder. Okay. Buckets though don't go much. Do they go 100 too? Okay. But, I mean, we get out of the range of the firefighters' ability to protect the building, then, you know.
Have they been consulted on this?
I probably doubt it.
I don't believe so, except to the extent they might have commented at the Planning and Zoning Commission when the matter came up. Probably ought to address this one, convene your regular meeting, and then come back in session for the hearing.
Because of the time, we're going to ask for a motion to adjourn the public hearing, and we'll go on to the council meeting and continue on.
Yeah, then you'll reconvene the hearing.
You don't reconvene the hearing.
Yeah.
To close the public hearing.
You don't need. You can close it. Just announce it closed, and then call the regular meeting to order.
Okay.
Will work.
Public hearing is now closed, and we're going to open the council meeting for tonight, May 21st. Mr. Worley, could you lead the pledge?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Have a moment of silent prayer, please. Thank you.
you can reopen the hearing at this point if you'd like.
Okay. We're going to open the hearing. We were talking about the three proposed ordinances. We did the hotel conference center and the sign. The third one is regarding open spaces. Mm-hmm. Does anyone on the council have any questions or discussion?
Oh, I got lots.
Should I go first?
Okay. Reading through this, and I'm not quite sure of, I don't know how the, if you look on the third page, which would be 507 of the open space ordinance, 507 B 5. I can't get a sense of how many units will be required when that minimum percentage of open space comes into play. You have minimum lot square footage, and then you have a minimum open space percentage, but there isn't any, like, if a subdivision is 45 lots, where will it fall into if it's R2A? Yeah, and the other one, the exemption for small developments. I don't know. The jury's still out on a developer paying cash to get out of providing open space. I can't really come up with a good idea of how to prevent it, but I think every development, no matter how large or how small, needs some kind of open space, needs some kind of community space for that area. And the other question I had was, it's not quite clear to me, and maybe I'm not reading it right. On F, the second to the last page, cash donations in lieu of land dedication. I need a little clarification on that. And the other question I had was parks and playgrounds. There isn't any, and it might be in another ordinance when they're required. But it really doesn't spell out when the town would require park equipment, playground equipment, swings, slides, things like that, basketball courts, which I think the developer should be required to put in before the town accepts the
subdivision. One of the questions I had was exemption for small developments, in that we have a number of LLCs, so a person conceivably, in my mind, create a small development, create another small development, create another small development, and we got 15 small developments instead of one large development. And I wondered about that, and then I said, what cash? How do we determine the cash? What determines what a small development? And I understand there are legitimate small developments. But in order to get around certain things, I could see where somebody would create, five LLCs instead of one large. And then, how about the cash? I mean, I don't understand. How much do we charge?
What the amount is off the top of my head. We do have a...
It's $300 per unit.
Right.
Gone up some.
I think it was $300 per unit. It has... I think it's cost of living adjusted, so I'm not sure what the amount is. It's not a substantial amount. But you do... A small development is basically a development of three lots or so. And you do have parcels of property where You know, that's about all you've got. And to set aside, to meet the minimum lot requirements and set aside open space is really, I mean, it's inconvenient for both the developer and for the town. I don't want a lot of little postage stamp open spaces that somebody has to be responsible for, and ultimately if the homeowners association, if there is one, defaults, the town's going to pick it up. If it's dedicated to the town, this is a problem that the county's had over the years. They end up with a building lot in a subdivision of 200 houses. And so now they've got these building lots scattered all over the universe that they've got to maintain and mow and what have you. So there is some de minimis level at which it really just doesn't make a whole lot of sense, and a cash contribution, is probably a better way to deal with it. A couple of things that we have done in here to come back to one of your questions: all residential subdivisions and land development plans of 20 units or more have to provide active open space. So that's one of the requirements. We've eliminated from consideration things that should not be part of the active open space, and we do require a landscape plan, an open space management plan, addressing landscaping and the creation of active recreation open space. So that's kind of what 10 on page 3 is intended to say. We've also written some design guidelines for active recreation so that we don't end up with just these kind of skinny little, what really are almost a buffer, that somebody says, well, that's open space. Well, it's open space because it's too wet to mow or, whatever it is, it meets some other requirement.
Mr. Hogg,
mm-hmm.
Kind of going back to Dr. Shervin's question, I mean, how do we handle multiple builders in development then? Because I've seen that on several developments.
And to be very honest with you, there's probably no way you're ever going to fully protect yourself against a developer who decides to come in and figure out what the minimums are, whatever they are, and then, always build to
the 19, and then you have 19. Ryan Holmes comes in, build the 19, then you have another home builder come build the 19.
And there's really no, if they're separate parcels of land under separate ownerships, there's probably not much you can do about it. I know a subdivision in Kent County where, the developer created 20 lots and with no interior road frontage because it predated the requirement in the county that you couldn't have flag lots and, a lot that has a 50-foot driveway that goes back to, 2 acres back somewhere.
Are all these homes coming in off Brenneford, Carter Road, Sunnyside, are they exempt to this?
They're already in approved subdivision, so their open space requirements have already been met.
Okay.
If they've got a record plan, their subdivision requirements have been met. We can't go back retroactively. But we can deal with a lot of issues that have come up over time. One that and I do agree with Mr. Mullen, we don't specifically say, and maybe we want to. Right now, we don't have a requirement that specifically says you got to build a tot lot or you've got to build, except in the town. I guess in the townhouse and apartment provisions, we do.
As part of our discussions on the committee level, what we discussed, the requirement for the landscape plan and open space management plan. That requires going through the Planning Commission and the process. So there would be input from the Planning Commission on that level and really guidance with staff throughout the process on what would be acceptable to the town as the plan goes through the process. And also, if I may, regarding your comment about the exemptions for the small developments, as part of writing that provision, the committee looked at the town maps, and there are many small pockets throughout the town that we looked at that were close to town recreational areas. And it seemed sensible for the town to be able to obtain funding from these small pocket developments that would only be a few homes so that the municipal resources could be developed further and really provide better open space opportunities for residents that would be using these new homes and they would have access to the public recreation that would be improved and be better for them than maybe 14% of three lots.
Is it a minor subdivision of three lots or less? Two?
I can't remember right
now
if it's three or four.
I think it's four.
Is it four? Okay, but it's still pretty small in a pretty small area. So if you figure the average, let's say, R2 zoning district, you're dealing with a roughly a 6,000 square foot lot. You know, 10% of 6,000 doesn't give you much, or 14% of 6,000. So you really would end up with very little open space that would be usable.
Well, maybe we can qualify that a little bit in here. If a town park is within so many blocks or something, then you know, cash could be considered, or you know, whatever. I don't know.
I have a comment. I mean, they're called pocket parks. I mean, if you have a condo association that has a park, most of these four or five, whatever, developments could be a condo association that develops a pocket park if they want one, or if they, and I can see where there would be something desirable with little spaces, little nooks and crannies to a town that, you know, creates an ambiance that we don't have. One, and second is, I would also really consider, I mean, the cash, where does this cash go? And that has to go. It has to be dedicated.
It does.
We
have an existing fee in lieu of parkland provision now, and that money goes into a fund that is called fee in lieu of parkland. And it is limited to expenditures for park acquisition and development. In fact, that's where a lot of our small development initiatives come from. When we go out and put some benches in a park or do something, that's where those funds come from.
I missed that.
Yeah, so that, I mean, that we do, and we require that to be paid before they get their first building permit, so we get it up front, so it's not. Did you want to see if anybody in the audience has any?
I had a couple questions.
Do I need to sit
down? No. If you want to.
Some of these came up at the planning and zoning the other night, too. Frankly, I'd like to see all these tabled. I think we need to do more work on them. There's no, I feel in the past, maybe too many things have been rushed through. And all the questions that have just come up here at the table tonight, and the public doesn't really know what we're talking about because we've given them a little bit of information. But I think we have time, and one of the things I was planning on working on having a workshop for the council and for planning and zoning, and I think we need to take the whole map. I believe part of the problem that's happened in the past is not the whole picture has been looked at. Little things happen here and there, and the next thing you know, it ends up in a disaster. I had asked quite a while ago, probably a year ago, something that you just said. They were coming out with these wanting to do the smaller lots, wanting to do clusters. I know the county, the state, everybody was talking about these things and having more open space. And I asked, well, if the homeowner bought a lot that was a larger lot, the responsibility would be on the homeowner to take care of that lot. When you're doing all these little clusters and they get a smaller lot and then you have to do open land, you either have to have an association that takes care of that, or it falls back on the town, and then we've got town expense again. So that was a question that I had about a year ago, and you just brought it up again. Another thing is not only open spaces, but lack of, as we were talking about, the one townhouse the other night, because most of the councilmen were not there. One of my biggest concerns, I sat and went through the charter and the ordinance over the weekend, and mobile home parks are required to have a lot more in our town than a development. They have to have two parking places per unit. They have to have an overflow parking lot. And I had made the comment the other night, 40 years ago when I bought my first home, it was a double wide and a mobile home park in Newark. And they gave you two spots per unit. And each section had a unit, or you know, an area for visiting parking or overflow parking. And I had made the comment that I felt that we're regressing because the development we spoke about the other night, there was one driveway with a garage, and then one car could park in the garage, and then the second car would have to park behind the car in the garage. And they were so close together, there's really no street parking because the road came in and went into a tight cul-de-sac. And there were no, there was no accommodations for visitors or overflow. We have one of those now across from Centennial Church. The townhouse is over there, very nicely built, very nice townhouses, but there's no parking. I think we need to start looking at all of these issues. We need to do a better job. And I think, you know, we're moving too fast. We need to just take all these questions need to be addressed. All these questions need to be taken into consideration. So right now, I feel they should be tabled.
But you know, Pat, with being in town, you're going to end up with that no matter what you do in town limits because there's only so much ground in town. You're still going to end up where you're
no,
parking
Bill,
to.
You don't end up with that. There's been variances upon variance asked for. The variance, number one, should not be given. Number two, if they cut down on the number of units, then they would have more space for open space and they would have more space for parking.
But then you would have to charge more for that, that house or that condo or whatever, and then some of the town people want affordable housing.
You can still do it. It's been done. You can still do it. The other thing is the town has been getting complaints, and I understand the police department's been getting some complaints that developments that are designed like this, they're starting to fight over parking. They're calling the town. I talked to Janet the other day, and she told me they're getting phone calls at the town, and I believe the police have too, that there's not enough parking. Almost every family has at least two cars today. And then if you have somebody to come to visit you, where are they supposed to park?
You go drop them off somewhere, and then come pick them up. First thing, I don't want them, my in-laws come visit me, so I only do that.
Well, we'll designate a development for that. But that's my feeling.
Well, if I may make a comment, we're talking about, in a lot of ways, what this town wants to become. Now, if you want a vibrant downtown section, there are certain towns like Chesapeake City that have a vibrant downtown section. And it's crowded. Parking is a problem. But it's a nice place to go to. A historic place to go. We have historic Smyrna. The density in Chesapeake City, for example, is very dense. I had to park a quarter of a mile away to get to some crabs. But I guess, what do we want Smyrna to become? I lived in Philadelphia. Parking was at a premium. You know, do you want to be in Philadelphia? Do you want to be in North Jersey? Do you want to be a Chesapeake City? Do you want to be a whatever? I mean, or Newcastle? I mean, this is what you're talking about. A lot of times, vibrant downtowns or historic businesses in a town require people living within walking distance of the business to keep things going because people don't want to get in their cars and that sort of thing. So it supports a downtown business. I would just implore the council to maybe look at... I've lived in high-density living. I've lived in low-density living. I've lived in Appalachian. I've lived in Philadelphia. Two different areas. What does Smyrna want to become? You know, and it's becoming something that I don't know if we have a philosophy about what we want this town to become because we're just getting built all around and we're getting buildings coming and going, and I personally don't mind high-density housing in a downtown area where businesses, you know, are, and in order for people to survive in business, they have to have clientele. But on the other hand, I don't know what the town wants to become.
And this is where part of the public comes in. So you need to come to the hearings. and write letters or call your councilman. We need to know what you want. This is your town. You do have a voice and you have a right to say. So contact us. Let us know how you feel about things and what you want. And you need to do it before, you know, there's a lot that's come before us. I hope the people of the town realize how much has come before us, because there's going to be a lot in the next couple of years that's going to pop up that was done over the last few years, and we have absolutely no control over it. We can't change it. We, you know, all we can do is try to just watch and make sure that variances are only given when there's a real hardship for it. There's down at Carter's Road, there's a map downstairs. If none of you have seen it and you want to see it, you're welcome to go downstairs and look. There's some maps down there on the south end of town and the north end of town. Shortly, there's going to be explosion of housing. So I just want the public to know that that was planned long before this council. And once it's annexed and once it's approved, it's basically a done deal. So we need to know, as Councilman Shervinak said, it's not, you know, we represent you. It's not just our decision. We need to know from you what you're looking forward to. Let us know what you like and what you don't like. So back to these. What do you want to do?
You don't take any action.
Public hearing. Yeah. Right. Public hearing. We're in the public hearing, so I move that we close the public hearing.
We have one more.
We have one more thing.
We haven't asked if anybody else wants to speak.
Yeah.
That's true.
On these three ordinances, does anyone in the audience would anyone like to speak on any of the three? The hotel conference center, the open space, and the signs.
Just so everybody knows, there is a copy posted on the bulletin board out front of everything that is in our packets as far as these ordinances are concerned. So if you want to read them, they're on the website. And they're also on the website. And I would, if you have any questions, I know I have a lot of questions on them that need to be answered. So by all means, look at them, read them, and give any of us a call.
And a lot of things are learned by mistake, because if you don't know about it, if you don't know what questions to ask, you can't ask them. So I know a lot of times you can't ask the question until it actually, you know, you get the knowledge of it or it happens. But we're trying to prevent that now. We want to have meetings, and one of the councilmen had asked about putting a freeze, but since you can't do a moratorium, I guess you can't put a freeze on. We're really not, like, these three things tonight, there's no rush on these. There's no reason why we have to act on these tonight.
Well, there is, actually. At least I think there is. All these ordinances definitely are old. They need to be rewritten. We have developments probably come in the door every week, and we need to, if they come in the door and they go through the approval process, they come under the old, they don't come under the new. So the faster we can get this done and the more complete we can get it done, the better off we're going
to
be.
We got businesses coming in here asking questions and all that. We need to get them, give them a copy of this.
We need to give them an answer that we can live with.
To take care of the things that started 15 years ago.
So can we schedule, what would be the process on this? Can we schedule a workshop so we can get these buildings?
Well, it comes up later in the agenda for a vote. So
at this point, you should just move on to the next public hearing, and then when you get to item 8A, you can decide how to handle these, what you would like to do.
Can I make a comment, please? Dawn Boyce, 1221 Duck Creek Road. I just wanted to remind everybody that the town is no longer just downtown. The town has expanded. And when you're thinking of these ordinances and writing these ordinances, you might have to think of two separate ordinances, one for downtown and one for this other area, north and south, because there is no parks and things in those areas. There could be, or there should be, But you need to just remember those things when you're looking at that. I mean, you have big developments going in, yeah, sure, and when you have your hotel and conference centers and all of these things, but you could have small developments come in outside of the town limits. And I've lived in townhouses. I know the two spaces don't work, believe me. Everybody fights over it. You have neighbors fighting constantly over parking. And when you're out there, there's plenty of space. Once you start going north and south of Smyrna, there is plenty of space to make these developments bigger. It's not downtown.
And most of our zoning codes, we're going through those now, too. We need to up some of the lot sizes. Because the largest lot size that we have right now, I believe, is 1,100 square feet.
I would love to see that. I mean, my neighbors and I have all asked about that for a long time, because you are not just downtown Smyrna anymore. Downtown Smyrna has spread
in
a major
way.
Are
you in town limits?
No.
No, that's all around her.
But it is right across the street from me.
She has the opportunity to annex in town.
Why would she annex into town?
Then why was she worried about it?
Because she lives there.
I'm just making a suggestion, Bill. I'm just making a suggestion that when you're thinking about these things and when you're considering these things, you really should consider that it is not within walking distance. That development out by me is not really in walking distance of what is going on in town. They're supposed to have a park, yeah. We shall see.
Well, you know, because somebody doesn't live in town doesn't negate anything they say, Mr. President.
Don't win
now? That's right.
It doesn't negate. You cannot negate anybody's opinion because they
didn't
don't live
that.
In town.
Didn't say that.
Well, you said you don't live in town.
She doesn't. Okay. She's not annexed in town.
Stop.
Oh, quite arguing.
Okay.
We're having an opinion.
Can we move on to the next public hearing?
Okay.
Do we need to close that one public hearing open, or can we
keep
going?
No, we're fine. We can continue. The other item before you for a public hearing involves an unopened alley. I guess it doesn't have a name. I've never heard a name for it, but I guess it could be considered Fraser Alley for lack of one. It runs, it's 10 feet wide, right?
Yeah.
It's a 10-foot wide alley, runs parallel to... my mind just failed. Locust Street, right. And beginning at Fraser. Many months ago, a couple of the property owners came forth, asked that alley be abandoned. Our provisions for abandonment of alleys and streets you've dealt with more recently, but basically the provision is that it be offered to the adjacent property owners, shared by them in an equitable manner, and it's up to council to decide a level of value to attribute to that, which could be anything from zero to whatever its appraised value is, if it has an appraised value. I'm not quite sure, and maybe somebody else knows, I'm not quite sure how this particular project fell off the radar screen, but it was surveyed, it was appraised, it was there were discussions with property owners, and in fact, in one case, we allowed a building to be built in anticipation of the issue being resolved, which the building was built, the issue wasn't. I'm going to give you that opportunity in just a second. But anyhow, the owners have made application to the town to have that 10-foot alley abandoned, and in order to do that, you need to hold a public hearing, which is before you tonight. So Mr. Heath is one of the owners, and I guess the person who brought
Dave, I know how it fell off is when Jim Fox left us.
That's probably it. It never got resolved. It just kind of...
Hi, most of you know me. My name's Curtis Heath. I live at 104 Locust Street. I'm going to go back a little history when I first bought the property at 104 Locust. When I first purchased the property, my wife and I... before Fraser Place even thought about building a retirement home there for older people, when we purchased the property, Mr. Jacobs was the town manager at the time. And I was talking to the property owner of the field, and I forget his name, older gentleman. We spent a couple $1,000s to a contractor, Mike Leger, Leger Construction. He got a letter. We have it on file. 1991, We cleaned up that alley when we purchased that property and the hedgerow. He took two dump truck loads of trash, you name it, out. The gentleman that owned that property told me, he said, Curtis, if the town would give you that 10-foot alleyway, I'll give you the hedgerow. And I talked to Mike Jacobs, and he said he'd check into it, and nothing came about. I came back on board with the council 2 years ago. I wanted to build a garage. This is 3 years. It's time to put it to rest. The residents on the south side of Fraser Street on Locust, them older people have been taking care of that alleyway for 40, 45 years. I've been taking care of it for 16. I take pride in my home. I had dirt brought in. I seed it, fertilized, so it can blend in with my home. I'm very particular about that, like everyone else here. You guys been talking about the town of Smyrna all night since I've been here. I was raised in Smyrna on the outskirts, and then I moved in, 1980. And I have a lot of pride. I'm with the fire department, past chief, you name it. I got a lot of pride in this town. The reason I'm asking for the whole 10-foot is the residents, myself, we put a lot of time and money in that 10-foot. The gentleman in behind, he's a businessman. We are resident. He's here. He's making money. He lives in Baltimore, I guess. Every time we came here for a public hearing, he never had nobody to represent him, but we had representation.
Did he ever get back with us, the owner of Fraser Place? Does he want his?
He has indicated to us that he does, in fact, want the 5-foot, his 5-foot of the 10-foot alley.
Can I ask why?
What the charter says. Yeah, what the charter says is that if the adjacent property owners wish to have their proportionate share of it, that's what we basically have to do.
What's the people north of them? When the town did that side, how far did they give them? Across from you, Curtis.
I believe it was 5.
They split it. That predates me, but
yeah.
Normally, that's been the practice where there's two property owners that abut each other. I believe that's what you did or what you were proposing to do when there was a question about abandoning the end of George's Alley where it comes up to Wendy's. I don't believe that ever actually went through, but the discussions with the property owners were, in fact, to split that alleyway, each property owner getting their proportionate share. Mr. Schuster has indicated that he wishes to be considered for, as an equal property owner along with six other residences, and you have in your packet the list on the map.
My question is, what would it benefit him?
It occurs.
5 feet.
Yeah.
The thing is, to act fairly, and if he's expressed an interest in it, just like all of you have, then the only, other than going through some kind of deed fight because you've maintained it and all that through the courts, the only fair thing that the town can do is to split it.
Okay, then the town give Green Meadows 140 feet of property leading towards the marsh area on the backside?
I don't know.
Okay, well, I understand it wasn't no adjoining, but
right.
I'm just bringing that up.
There's not an adjoining property owner, then obviously you have the one. Trying to think of another one. But this is an issue, I should let council know. This is an issue in much of downtown, or sort of the historic part of Smyrna, both sides of the highway. There are unopened alleys. There's one in back of Bill Hill's house that comes off of Fraser Street and runs to Anthony Lane. It's been part of somebody's yard for potentially ever, but it's it is an unopened alley. It is a clearly designated 10-foot alley. And so these, that's why the charter provisions set forth this process that says we notify the property owners, we offer it to them equally. If Mr. Schuster were to say, I don't want it, then you would split it among the other six property owners. But in this case, because he has indicated that he wants it, you really do have
to follow. But, I mean, as council, can we not give it to him?
Now, that's a charter. That's a charter.
So it says we have to give it to him.
You would be opening, even if it wasn't in the charter, you would be opening up a can of worms.
That's all right. We open many of them.
If you didn't equally divide
open another one.
Is it possible that we as a town, seeing that they are residents, go to bat for them and maybe write a letter to the gentleman explaining the situation that they've maintained it all these years?
Maybe Erica could fill council in on the legal ramifications of taking sides.
I would recommend against doing that. If council wants to encourage the other residents to reach out to Mr. Schuster, perhaps that's a method that could be successful. But at this point, council really has the choice to either abandon the alley or not. And if council chooses to abandon it, the land has to be offered equally to the abutting property owners.
I maintain for 16 years. You add in labor, the money I spent in there, fuel for my lawnmower, and he gets a free 5 foot. I think you need to put that back in and go over that.
Did he maintain?
No.
On the other side past that?
Just his property line.
But he comes up to?
His, the alley. Just.
And he takes right care of what's on the other side, not his 5 feet on the alley on the other side.
Yes. There I is. Take care of the whole 10 feet. The whole residence, they take care of the whole 10.
There is a process that you can go through to claim that area. It's long and lengthy and it's expensive, but I mean there is an established process that you can go through to do that.
Curtis, have you talked to Don?
I don't even know who he is.
So. Mr. Hogg, has Mr. Schuster indicated what he plans to do with that 5 foot of land?
No, he'll add it to his property and, you know, take over responsibility for it. I mean, it's a 5 foot wide by.
He's not planning a fence or anything like that?
He hasn't indicated.
He has a fence on the other side. He will not put a fence up. In 2005, we were here. He did not show tonight. So for 16 years, it's been abandoned. Are you going to find him? He's abandoned that property. Brett, how long have you lived there?
We've taken care of it for 42 years.
So for 42 years, where's this man been? And they're going to give him 5 feet.
Is there any way he can put his fence up the rest of the way, all the way to E Street, just like he did the north side?
You wouldn't have heard?
And behind us, he never finished his fence. The residents, the Richardsons, south, he stopped there.
Well, I would make a suggestion that if we do this and we split this equally, which we almost have to do, I would strongly suggest that Mr. Schuster be forced to maintain his property. If he doesn't maintain it in according to the ordinance of the town, then the town can maintain it for him and charge him for it and also fine him.
Let me ask this. Can we contact Mr. Schuster again and let him know if he's going to get this, that he's got to take care of this, or we're going to, you know.
Yeah, I mean,
he's got a contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's not an issue. I mean, if he acquires this additional property and he doesn't maintain it, he'll be cited and fined for it, and it's
just like anybody else,
just like we would do to Curtis here, if for some reason he failed to maintain his property. I mean,
that's unlikely.
I know it's unlikely. That's why I was sort
Curtis,
of.
Curtis, is it a possibility for all of you, the six of you, to contact this gentleman and tell them your story and why you want the whole 10 feet and not the 5 before we do anything. Then you will have exhausted all of your efforts. He either will answer you or he won't answer you, and he'll say yes or no.
We never contact him.
You've never contacted
him? No.
You but maybe all of you, if you got together, sir, you said 40 years, explain to him, you know, your stories and see what he has to say when all 6 residents there say, look,
while you're
this
doing
is
that,
why we...
ask them about the fence, too.
Okay.
I think that would be the best course at this point.
Can the town give him their address and all?
Oh, yeah, I think you've got all the addresses.
Not his, no.
Okay.
And I think it's legal.
Okay.
From a legal point of view, that we gave you can announce that the town council gave you that recommendation.
Okay.
Is that okay?
But is it okay? We'll take it.
Well, I think you can mention.
We didn't say
that. I didn't say to do it. I just suggested it.
Curtis, is that going? Will that be all right with you? Just to hold this until, say, the next meeting.
That's fine. I'm not happy, but I'm fine.
But, I mean, that gives you 30 days.
That's fine.
That gives you to contact this guy and see what he says.
Right. Okay.
We understand our position.
You know, we'll give you
I understand your position.
But you might get 10.
Yeah. Thing is, it's time to put it to rest either way.
Just very quickly so everybody understands what's going on. The town as a municipality cannot act in an unfair and capricious manner. We could be held, if we awarded the 10-foot to everyone, we could be held liable by Mr. Schuster and everything else. And eventually, if he wanted to fight it, eventually he would get the land back. So that's why we have to be fair to everybody.
Okay. I think that completes our public hearing. Did anyone else in the audience have any questions or comments?
Yeah, you do need a motion.
I make a motion we close the public hearing.
Second.
I don't know who made it.
I'm sorry.
I made the motion.
And then I tied for second.
I second. Mullen.
Mullen.
Councilman Brown.
Yes.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Yes.
Councilman Presley.
Aye.
Mayor Stonebaugh.
Aye.
Councilman Thornton.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen.
Aye.
Councilman
absolutely. Aye.
Thank you. All right. And, okay, so you can go back on the agenda for the regular meeting and proceed with action on the agenda.
We don't have to do pledge and all that.
No.
You're fine on that.
Additions and deletions.
Okay. We are number 4, which is additions, deletions to the published agenda. Have any?
Nope.
Motion to approve the agenda.
I make a motion we approve the agenda as published.
I second it.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
Councilman Presley.
Aye.
Councilman Thornton.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen.
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Brown.
One more.
Oh, I'm sorry, Councilman.
Sure.
I would do that. I'm sorry. Reading, corrections, approval, disposition of minutes from the previous meeting.
Ain't got none.
Did we get minutes?
They're on their desk.
No. I don't remember seeing them.
No.
These aren't it?
We didn't
these
minutes?
Are just an organization meeting.
Okay.
Our Carol, our recording secretary, we're wearing her out lately with public hearings and planning and zoning and Board of Adjustments, so we've got to give her a little time to catch up with us.
Do we approve the minutes of the organizational meeting?
I don't know if anyone's had time to read
them.
They're probably okay.
I did. Well, I'll make a motion to approve them because I did read them.
I will second that motion. Mr. Presley read them. I agree with them.
Don't go that far.
Moving right along.
Councilman Presley?
Yes. Aye.
Mayor Stonebaugh?
Aye.
Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Councilman Mullen?
Aye.
Councilman Trevenant?
Aye.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Bills and financial statements. Mr. Hogg?
In your packet was, at least in mine, the detailed financial documents and the current cash account, which is the report which we give you every month.
May I ask the town manager, do we recycle this paper?
Certainly.
I think it would be a good idea, don't you think?
I've already gotten halfway through it.
Yes, I understand, but I appreciate the...
If you flip it over, you can probably write prescriptions on it or something.
Thank you.
Or write me a check. Right, right, yeah.
Have any questions on the bill from financial statements?
That's a lot of paper.
This is a summary.
I know.
No. Okay.
It'll be discussed at the next finance committee meeting. So, if anybody wants to ask any questions, then like,
The presiding officer statement. I guess that's me. Just to let the public know, our little changes here. Carol was having when everybody was shouting out their votes, it was difficult for them to know who voted which way on what issue. So that's why we've gone to the roll call vote. It takes a little bit longer, but I think it's going to make things a lot clearer. And we're also looking at a electronic system, pretty close to bringing it to council, where each council person will have a keypad and the screen will come down, and each council person, we have a screen over here. We're already wired for this. We have the technology for it. We have the screen for it. All we have to get is the keypads and the software, and the councilmen are going to hate it, but they punch in their answer and it comes up on the screen, and it just comes up with the councilman's name, yes or no, and it just da-da-da-da-da right down the row. So each councilman's not going to know what the other councilman voted, but hopefully we'll have that soon.
We like gadgets.
I guess what happened to the old hand up and no good? Okay.
Can we use the backside of all that stack of paper and just write yes or no?
You do that too, yeah.
The other thing the councilman will love, sooner or later, probably sooner, we're going to go to electronics, so you won't have all this paper. Does that make
sense? Well, let me ask you this. Does the keypad, we're looking at expense here, and does the keypad record the vote so that automatically?
That's one of the
We don't need a secretarial time to record the vote.
She won't have to record the vote, but we still need her to.
No, but the vote will be recorded electronically.
Yeah.
So you can read.
I don't know. I get to look at the system. I have no idea.
We've looked at the one that Dover has. I shouldn't say we. I haven't looked at it either, but other than to know that they have it. But those are the kinds of questions that we're addressing. The one system that we did have some information on, basically, the council people have what looks like a mouse pad in front of them, and they have yes, no, and abstain, and there's a. Somewhere in the room, there's a display board that next to Shervinac would show yes, no, or abstain, and simultaneously that would be recorded as the record of the vote. And beyond we haven't really.
But I wanted to save your time.
That went to a printer.
That went to a printer or something, yes. I mean, those are, and then she would not have to call the roll.
Okay. That'd be great.
I learned in high school, in my high school electric class, I learned how to wire a light bulb with a switch on it. And how about if we just stick a light bulb in the front
and
put that switch on?
It wouldn't record it. So.
It wouldn't record it.
Come on,
take that.
Okay.
Okay. Town attorney?
No report, Mayor.
Thank God.
We'll be in overtime.
Police chief?
Go ahead, please.
No report.
Town manager?
On the police chief's report, I want to, I was at the Rotary Club car show on Saturday, and I want to commend all the staff. Staff was the only ones out there working hard, did a good job, didn't hear anybody complaining about anything or any problems, and they did a real nice job. Thank you.
Okay. You have my report somewhat abbreviated in your packet, and various information pieces also in the packet. I think that's probably, I don't think there's anything to add to it tonight. Is there questions? Any questions?
I don't have any questions for Mr. Huff.
Well, we had a personnel committee May 9th, and you have the minutes in your package. It wasn't a very long meeting. Only had a couple things to do. And our next personnel meeting will be June the 13th. And then we have a business development meeting on the 7th of June at 8:30.
Any other committees?
The Finance Committee had a meeting way back May 8th, and I don't believe I made a report at the last meeting. I think it was the day after the first meeting. We discussed several things. The biggest one, the two largest ones, was the school impact fee for commercial properties and also grants. And it was a very long meeting, and I thank all the committee members and all the public that was present. They were very patient.
If I can also add, the police chief's report that was in your packet has the minutes of the public safety meeting that also took place at that time. Mr. Thornton, did you want to comment?
Yeah, I can comment on that. I was there. Public safety... The committee met and went over. We had a an engineer's report concerning speeding problem on Greens Branch Lane, and the without going into a lot of detail, the bottom line was we're going to try a series of smaller steps rather than trying to reconfigure intersections and so forth at this point because it can be very expensive. But we got a lot of good input from the engineering firm, and we also got input from a resident who lives there. So it was a very positive meeting from that standpoint. The problem with that roadway, it's a throughway between the western part of town now over to the eastern portion to get you off of Glenwood Avenue. And so they're suffering traffic problems, and with the new homes built there on Greens Branch, with younger children involved, it's becoming a safety concern for those folks that live there. So we are working on that. Another issue that was brought up, there was a lady at the council meeting several council meetings ago, Ms. Wyant, had some concerns, and those were addressed by the chief and his staff, so that... That has been taken care of. And we went through the monthly statistics very briefly, which I won't go into now, but basically we continue to look at those in terms of calls for service and whether or not we need to do some things in terms of adjusting those. So all in all, it was a very positive meeting. It lasted for about an hour and a half, I guess, and we got some things accomplished.
Thank you. Okay, now is the time that visitors are welcome to come and speak to the council about any issue that you would like to address us. And you're allowed 3 minutes, and we ask you to please try to stay within those 3 minutes. Please give your name and address.
My name is Helen Miller. My husband Gordon and I reside at 45 West South Street in Smyrna. With our chairman, Mr. Young's permission, I am speaking for the election board. The election board worked diligently from mid-February till April 30th, election day. The Wednesday night before election was our last meeting. Attorney Tom Barros was there and taped every word spoken. Attorney Barros was also in attendance the entire election day and taped every word spoken during the absentee ballot proceedings. Four people committed perjury under oath and every word is on that tape. There was also that was also witnessed by the entire election board. This in itself should be sufficient proof of election fraud, and we believe council must hear these tapes and take further action.
Mrs. Miller,
yes.
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Is it really necessary to listen to the tapes?
Yes, it is, because that is proof.
Can we listen to a transcript? I mean, can we get a transcript of the tape and read?
That's Mr. Barrow's decision. He was there the whole day at request of the council and taped every word.
Let me ask you, one other question is, if I trust you, I trust the election board. So therefore, is it necessary for all of us to listen to a tape, do you think? I mean, you were there.
Something to be done about this matter, yes. That's
okay.
The law.
Okay.
All right. Ms. Miller, I have a question also.
Yes.
There were a couple other issues brought up. Are you requesting that those issues be investigated also?
What issues?
I believe two of the challengers represent themselves as for one of the electoral candidates. By law, they can only have one per candidate. Here's my. If you're going to charge, or you want this to do one, I want to do it all. I have no problem investigating violations of the law. I believe in the justice system. And if you're going to ask for us to do justice, it has to be justice across the board. That's why. Well, you can only have one representative per candidate. You'll see in the transcripts. Mayor Stombaugh had two different people identify themselves as challengers for her.
But were they there at the same time or separate times?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not trying to bring the mayor and get her in trouble, but my question to you is, Ms. Miller, if you're going to do one,
no, wait,
let's
well,
do
hold
it
on.
All.
My story this is not... Mr. Brown, you're talking about two different issues here. One is a... issue of fraud.
Mm-hmm.
The other issue is a civic matter that does not involve a criminal matter.
Okay.
So you have two different issues here.
Are you sure it's not a criminal matter?
Yes, I am. Because having two challengers does not constitute a crime, but somebody lying.
Absolutely, I agree.
Constitutes a crime.
Correct.
Now, I'm not a policeman, so on the other hand, I'm using common sense here. And the idea is that we have a, yes, I don't know if there are two challengers. I'm not sure. But that's a civic matter. It's not a criminal matter. We're talking about a crime here, lying under oath.
I took an oath to defend the law of the state of Delaware and the charter of the town of Smyrna.
Okay.
And I'm assuming that the people that perjured under oath.
So the matter...
I think the matter
that Mrs. Miller bring up, it has nothing to do with what you just said. That's another matter. And we appreciate your coming.
Thank you.
Okay, I have a question for our council. What I read through the charter, and I couldn't find, maybe there's something separate, but what is the procedures when election fraud has happened? Who is the responsible party to file a formal?
This subject comes up later in the agenda,
yes.
and I would suggest that we wait.
Wait until then.
We wait until it comes up.
Right.
Okay. Would anyone else like to come forward?
Ernest Davis, 216 Nugent Loop, Smyrna. I just have questions on. I've been hearing all evening about what do you want Smyrna to become. Now, I've heard you say that you want to keep it as the old time, Smyrna, and possibly expand it into the new time, the new day. But with expansion also comes problems. Now, in being part of the Downtown Renaissance Association, I see different things that I've seen in other cities. Now, I'd like to see something done about it. There are certain times of night where there's loitering. There's a problem of loitering. Whenever there's a problem of loitering, there's also going to be a problem of illegal activity. When there's a problem of illegal activity, then you also have the problem of violence. So this is going to be a domino effect unless something is done around the four corners. I'm quite sure anyone can drive through at night and you will see individuals that you will not see during the day when the sun is up, and you definitely won't see in a work uniform headed toward any place of employment. Now, I'm not the brightest star in the sky sometimes, but I've spoken with Councilman Presley on it. I haven't said a lot. I've spoken with new Councilman Thornton. I've even spoken with you, Mayor, and I've mentioned it to Dr. Chevenet. I'd like to see something change there. Everything else that I will think of would be the utilities. From what I've read, and I may interpret it wrong, there's been a problem with utilities that has, as you said, has escalated. Something was done 5 years ago, and now we're feeling the effect of it. Will that be revisited as well? Everything else I will bring to the business development meeting because it will deal with business development and grants for small business owners.
Thank you.
The other thing I'd like to point out that during the time when visitors come forward, council isn't required to answer questions that come up at that time. It's a time for you to have an opportunity to come up and ask your questions or make statements. It's the time for us to, we need to do some research and, you know, talk things over and then get back and answer those questions. Would anyone else like to come forward?
Just on Mr. Davis's comments, Captain Bordley,
yes.
Could you check that out? And
I know
you are.
Just
thank you.
To catch him.
And I would also like to say, Mr. Davis, you haven't spoken to me about any of these issues with Four Corners.
And the reason why I didn't speak to you is because I try to maintain distance in a lot of things, such as, like I said, with grants because of my place of employment and also my wife's place, because you know my life. Mm-hmm. So I kind of don't say anything until safety starts becoming an issue, and I have a teenage son coming. And I would hate to go back to where I grew up at to stop some of the mess that threatens my family, because then that's a whole other issue.
I understand.
Good point.
Okay, we're on old business. Results of the public hearing.
Yeah. Make a motion.
Motion. Here you guys. Need a motion. Do you want to do them separately or together? Or?
Basically, the action you took tonight on all four of these was to suggest that they be tabled for some additional information. I think the appropriate action probably is to simply table or defer them to the next meeting of council. I would ask that if you have specific comments on any of the three ordinances that we've sent to you, or for that matter the one that we're asking you to send to planning and zoning tonight, that you get them to us, mark up a copy, or come see me, or send an email to me or something so we can get them addressed by the committee.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to table ordinance number 00307, 00407, and 00507.
And the alley.
What about the alley?
Why don't you do this as separate?
I was going to do that separate.
Okay. I'll second that.
No, wait.
trying to figure out.
I need a discussion. What's going to happen between now and then? How are we going to vet, discuss, and digest all these?
I would hope that if you have specific comments or questions,
I just need to know that we're going to digest and this and talk about it.
Right. And I think the ad hoc committee is meeting again. Second week of June. I'm not sure. What the date is. So we can certainly, depending on what the questions are and whether we can answer them or not, we can go back to the committee and spend some additional time looking at them or clarifying them for you. I mean, that's part of the reason trying to do this is to get them out here and get feedback. And
do you think that we should all be at the same meeting?
You're welcome to attend. It's an ad hoc meeting. It's 10 o'clock in the morning downstairs. We usually go about 3 hours, so it's on a Tuesday or Wednesday. It's because it's a staff. Basically, it's a staff meeting with. But you're welcome to attend. But I would certainly suggest that you get any comments you have to me, either handwritten or marked up or email or whatever form, or come see me about them. Okay. I'm gonna call them.
Time to vote.
Hello.
Aye.
Aye.
Councilman
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Councilman White. Councilman Presley.
No.
No.
Mr. Heath has left, hasn't he?
Okay. Yeah.
Can we table this? Pending. I think we ought to table this as well, pending further communication between.
Yes.
Property owners.
Is that a motion, Mr. Sherman?
Yes, I move that we do that.
Second.
Hold my hand up.
Councilman Thornton?
Aye.
Aye.
Councilman Charbonnet?
Aye.
Councilman Brown?
Aye.
Councilwoman White?
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Yes.
Mayor Stonewall?
Yes.
Hey, Mr. Neiser, we don't normally do this, but since you're chairman of the Planning and Zoning, would you like to step up to the microphone?
I always like to know what the date is.
Up to the microphone.
The date of what?
He just wants to know the date of the ad hoc committee.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
How's it feel? How's it feel?
I just wanted to know the date of this ad hoc meeting.
I'll call Cal
tomorrow and she'll let me know.
It's the second week,
the
but
12th.
I can't. The 12th.
It's the second Tuesday.
Okay.
Is it okay if we attend, ma'am?
Yes, sir.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Please.
You are certainly welcome to attend,
Popcorn
Mr. Neiser.
Popcorn will be served.
Yeah, or at least coffee.
Okay. First reading, ordinance number 006-07, Charter 32, impact fees, reference full impact fees for non-resident permits.
It don't matter, Dave. I could, I'll say something real fast about it. I'm the one brought it up again, was to have no impact fee for commercial properties, for the school impact fees only. It's trying to bring more businesses in town and give us as a town something to offer where that business is not impacting our school at all. We've took it to the Finance Committee, the Business Development Committee. It had been approved from Finance and Business Development to bring forward to the Council. Yeah, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was tabled in Finance.
It was to bring it forward.
It was tabled, and we were supposed to get figures of towns around us.
No, a motion was made, and the motion failed.
No, that was for the residential. Look at your minutes. Residential, it failed.
Okay, I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, the motion, that was the consideration at Finance and at Business Development was only to put the cap back on for eliminate the fee.
Because we asked for the residential and that failed at the Finance.
Right.
But Gene, if you remember, you and Valerie both voted to bring it forward to the Council.
I did. No way.
You're right. I don't have the vote.
Is this a time for discussion?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I would like to discuss. Quickly.
Yeah, well, this is a very interesting situation from the point of view that you're asking a business to forego or at least not have an impact fee. I think
or school impact.
Hold on. No. School impact. Yeah, okay. School impact fee. The interesting thing is that if you look at a community like Bon Air, how do they impact on our school system? They don't. When you look at a nursing home, they don't impact on our school system. There's a lot of businesses that don't impact that on our school, but bring residents into our community. I think we're opening up a bit of a can of worms when we start distinguishing between those entities that don't impact our schools and those that do, because then you can start drawing arguments about all kinds of things that, well, you know, I have a gas station, or I have whatever, but they bring people into our town. And each business, if you look at it, I think you're looking at new businesses or new construction. Old businesses would not, I mean, if somebody wants to have a business in downtown and they buy a building, do they?
Yeah, if they got a permit, they would get a school impact fee.
Okay.
And what it was, Doug, Kent County is talking about changing theirs because that's where it came from. And with the school, you know, the new businesses, a lot of times they hire students. So it benefits, you know, Bon Air don't hire nobody, you know.
I wonder about their grass and that's
well,
what
yeah.
But the idea is when you start splitting and start getting involved in deciding who pays and who doesn't, then to me you're you could have a problem. And I think the other issue is that businesses bring people. People live somewhere. Well, so with the more business you bring into town, the more people you could potentially bring into our... So there is an impact. I mean, this hotel is going to bring in workers. I mean, it's going to bring in people. So there is an impact on our school system. Now, how do we measure it? It's very difficult. Some people will live in town, but you know what? 70% of our school system is outside our town. So we can't determine, likely, these people are going to live within the school district.
Well, residential, you are still going to have a school impact.
I understand that, but they wouldn't be here if it weren't for the business.
But what else is the town of Smyrna going to offer these businesses that we want in town? What kind of incentive are we offering them?
Well, I guess, again...
What brings them to Smyrna?
A business. Usually businesses come to an area where they can make money, period. They don't come to an area where they don't make money.
They look for rooftops.
They look for rooftops, and we certainly got rooftops. All I'm saying is that I think, from my point of view, that they do impact on our school system, and I think any business owner would understand that there is an impact. Otherwise, people from Bon Air can come in here and say, guess what? We don't impact on anyone in the school system because we don't have school children in the system. But we're talking philosophy here from the point of view that what is a community? And a community is businesses and it's houses and it's a number of different things. And traditionally, all these entities have supported a school system, a public school system. So do we say to these people, well, you don't have to support the public school system, but you do. And that's the issue I'm saying. It's going to be difficult.
Mr. Hogg, are we the only municipality that has this at this time?
I can say it was. I meant to bring the newspaper with me, but in this week's newspaper, Clayton
is considering it.
6,000.
Yeah.
But at this time, we're the only one.
Did Clayton actually? Did they pass their ordinance? They were considering an ordinance. We were the only one, other than Kent County.
Is this resolution for no school impact fee or the 1.25 we talked about?
Yeah, this resolution would strike the imposition of school impact fee on all new non-residential construction.
Construction.
I have to say this, that I had a lot of constituents come to me when they heard about this. And as Councilman Chervenak said, a lot of them were seniors. A lot of them had no children. And they felt that it was very unfair that if we were going to, because what I had used was what Mr. Councilman Presley said at the Finance Committee meeting was charge impact fees on people that cost the impact. But as Councilman Chervenak said, we are a community. Everybody doesn't want their taxes to go up. Everybody wants the electric rates to come down. And we keep giving out all these discounts to new businesses that come in. Bill, if businesses want to come in, businesses expect these type things.
Well, this council just, at the last meeting, just gave a business in town $3,000.
Oh, I know. This has been happening.
But this council done it last time.
How can we? Well, just because we did it before, does it mean it can continue on? That's why the new council we've talked about.
I guess what I'm saying is, being in the business development, we've had people come here. And they're not interested. You know, just Dave helped me with that state building. That impact fee is going to be a $65,000 impact fee.
Well, you started out at the Finance Committee. You started out with a cap, and I was kind of shocked when I got this that it was no impact fee at all.
Because if you were at the Finance Committee meeting and listened, that's what they decided.
I must have missed part of the finance committee.
Well, be that as it may, what I'm saying is that I think there's got to be some impact fee on in order.
Well, at first, I came up with the $37.50.
It's too low for a business.
Well, this is certainly a two-edged sword, and I'm, you know, I understand business development, and we wrestled with this with the finance committee. And the bottom line is, a business is going to have an impact. And what we need to do is find out what we can live with, because obviously this council is split. So in an effort to save some time, I'll offer the percentage with a cap that we can live with, because quite frankly, Bill, I agree with you. Businesses are going to come to Smyrna, and not just for rooftops. They're going to come here to make money. That's what they're going to do, and the more incentives that they can get to come to an area, the better off our chances are to get them are going to be. And we can't ignore the long term benefits of a business coming in town for the simple 1 year, 2 year short term. So we have to look at, like you said, Pat, we have to look at the whole package. And if we're short-sighted and hammer everybody with very large impact fees and all that, they're not going to come here. And then in the long run, we're going to lose. Sooner or later, we have to deal with it, and I'm suggesting a compromise.
Yeah, but let me say this. Looking at the whole picture in the long run, if that doesn't solve the problem, now the state doesn't know if they're going to have the 80% to give for the school referendum. The school already is overflowing. They don't know what they're going to do with the sixth grade this year. We've got more developments coming, more kids coming, and the school district, I met with W. Wicks last week, and they are beside themselves.
Well, they have the school district.
Let me finish, please. If it doesn't work out with, like you're saying, with the businesses, you know where it's going to go. Then we're going to have to up the taxes for the citizens. It goes back to the citizens again.
The bottom line is Smyrna School District, and while we're all in the same community, and some, I'm sure some people out there are going to throw things at me, the Smyrna School District is not the responsibility of the town of Smyrna.
I don't know how you can say that. It's a big part of our town.
It is a very big part of our town. It is a very big part of our town and our residents and our kids.
You don't have to throw anything at you, I will.
And everything else. But the bottom line is, Smyrna School District is not the responsibility of the town of Smyrna. It is the responsibility of the state of Delaware.
You're right.
And we keep on forgetting that stuff, and believe me, if we had the money, I'd give them as much as they want, because I want our schools to be the best in the state, without a doubt. And I don't have any kids that go to school now. My son's been out of school for 10 years, 12. But I still want our schools to be the best thing in the state. But the bottom line is, the state of Delaware dropped the ball, allowed all the developments to come in with no controls and no protections for the towns of this state. And now we're ending up paying for it, and it's not right. And sooner or later, we have to come up with a compromise. And that's where it's going to end up anyway. I mean, from both sides of the battle, we're going to end up in the middle. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it.
Do we need to possibly find a happy medium here? And
exactly.
Well, as we
exactly.
I
got a big mouth anyway. What, it's okay.
I'll make a motion that we cap it at $5,000.
Second.
Can you the 1.25% up to a cap of $5,000?
Just like we had it. We'll go one and a quarter percent. Cap it at $5,000.
Which is higher than it was previously.
That's only for commercial properties.
So, so basically, what you're doing is you're offering an amendment to this.
Yes, Dave.
Provision. Okay.
When
it comes back for second reading. Well, this is a three-reading ordinance, so when it comes back for the second reading at the next council meeting, that's how it will read. Okay. Do we have a second on that?
I second.
Okay.
Bernard seconded it.
Who, which one of you?
Nora.
Brown.
Oh. Okay.
Aye.
Councilman Mullen?
You count my name, Chief Eric.
Councilman Chervenet?
This is the first reading yeah. of the amended. Yes. Yes. Aye.
Councilman
Aye.
Brown?
Aye.
Councilman Presley?
Yes.
Aye.
Mayor Stombach?
No.
Thank you.
I didn't get this appeal.
Just 30 seconds. Item 8C was stricken tonight.
Okay.
We've had difficulty in setting up a meeting or teleconference between the owners, the assessor, and the town staff, and we weren't ready to come tonight. So this will be back on your agenda for the next week.
8D, anonymous complaint.
I had this put on the agenda for the last meeting, and having thought about it and having listened to the comments of the police department and the town manager, I would like to make a motion that the town of Smyrna, with the exception of the police department, not accept any anonymous complaints. All complaints will come with a RP name, address, and telephone number.
I'll second that.
Discussion?
Go ahead.
Thank you.
Thing. Why not?
Go ahead, please.
I guess the police department, I mean, how can you accept an anonymous complaint? I mean, I call that there's a barking dog next to Mr. Presley's house, or he has a barking dog. I'm like a mile away from the guy. I mean, but I just want to, you know, wag his tail a little bit. I mean, I understand that, but what I'm saying, but
not a town hall.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, how can I anonymously say to you, or call the police department and say, you know, Mr. Presley's got this terrible dog that's chewing up everybody's lawn and this and that and everything else, and then hang up the phone, and then you have to go out and take your time and effort and get him angry, and then not have a person who. I'm sorry, but I mean, a demented person, a person who is not mentally stable, is calling your police department over and over again. I mean, how do you handle that?
Anybody who's in police work knows that's been an ongoing problem. We've always had those situations to deal with. And that's
ever since they started inventing.
Let me see if I can help you,
Dr. Chervenak.
Good. I need help.
Okay.
Let me write you a prescription.
The problem is with police work, you can't distinguish between the anonymous call for the barking dog versus the anonymous call from a neighbor who hears his next-door neighbor, the male, beating his wife. And that has to be checked out. And in most cases, the caller does not want to be contacted, does not want to be identified in any way. And it's one of those knotty problems that's never going to go away, but it has to be taken care of in the interest of public safety. And that's why I think it's wise to differentiate between police complaints and other complaints. I would add one thing to Mr. Mullen's suggestion, and that is if the individual who makes the complaint does not wish to be contacted, then they should not be contacted. In other words, some people will make you aware of a problem. Their neighbor has trash in their yard. And they don't necessarily want the inspector coming up knocking on their door, identifying them as the person that made the complaint. So we have to be careful of that, too. But there is a clear distinction between public safety issues and the kind of issues that I think brought this about.
Dr. Chervenak, counsel?
My motion.
I think we're cross wires because I agree with you. And we're forgetting one thing. If you want to go in and file a complaint against an officer, say an officer has done something wrong, was rude to you on a stop, the first thing they need to do is put it in writing and sign that complaint. I agree wholeheartedly because that is part of the complaint process. It needs to be in writing. A 911 call, as they're both, that's a whole separate issue. If they're calling 911 to purport a crime, then there's case law which protects them. But if they want to file a complaint against a town employee or one of us, per se, I agree, it should be in writing and signed. because that is not protected.
I guess when I'm trying to protect the police department from nuisance.
Well, they're not affected by this.
You can't.
They're their own entity.
They're an exception.
What I'm talking about is the town complaint,
ordinance complaint, somebody not mowing their grass, somebody something like that. And what I would like to do is amend my motion. What I'd like to amend it to is that the town take no complaint that has any immediate effect of either health, safety, or the welfare of any resident of the town of Smyrna.
Anonymously.
And the name, address, and telephone number will be confidential to the town.
What about a complaint against a town employee? Then that needs to be in writing also, correct?
It should be, yeah. I mean, that's just a matter of course. I mean, if you have a complaint against a town employee, that needs to be put in writing, or it's not a valid complaint.
Can we leave it up to the town manager to decide if he wants to take the complaint or not?
No, you can't.
But I can't
really do that.
But if it's an emergency.
I complain to him all the time. He just don't want to answer me.
I just ignore you, Bill. But that's, I mean, we know that.
I mean, an emergency situation that affects the life, health, and property wouldn't be affected. But I'm assuming if it was an emergency, they would call the police department.
I wanted to ask Mr. Mullen for some clarification, because a code enforcement officer, almost by definition, is dealing with matters many times that are health, safety, and welfare, public safety. I mean, if a building is structurally unsound, if a building is contaminated with filth, if a building lacks no running water or no heat or has a hole in the roof, there are very real likelihoods that somebody's health, safety, and welfare is going to be adversely impacted. I don't disagree necessarily with the whole notion, and Lord knows we get enough complaints where somebody calls in and, you know, they're mad at their neighbor, and they just call in and say, my neighbor's got an unregistered car in their backyard, or my neighbor's got, you know, hadn't mowed their grass, or the guy down the street's got, you know, doesn't clean up his dog waste, or whatever it is. And we spend an awful lot of time going out and investigating those, and sometimes they are purely harassment. They are purely, you know, I don't, you know, like Mr. Presley, so I call every other day with some alleged violation that he's carried out. And but I don't know. I'm just concerned. I guess I want to be very clear what it is you want us.
That's exactly what I want to try to get rid of. And I know the town staff has spent many hours chasing down complaints that didn't exist. And quite frankly, if you're a responsible person and you're a member of the community, and you have a complaint against your neighbor, then you need to at least give your name and phone number and say, okay, my name is Joe Blow, this is my phone number, and to be assured that it's going to be held in confidence for the person to check it out. But if that person doesn't have a name that he can call back, then is it really a valid complaint?
To me, it's like the false alarm thing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
I mean, that costs money. That costs effort. It costs a lot of things. Money.
It does. But I guess I just want to be careful that I don't want to send a message out to the public that you can't call in a complaint about something. You know, I mean, some neighbors live in fear of their neighbors, and they may feel very concerned about. You know, if it's drug activity, obviously that's a police matter. But, you know, if you've got 16 people living in a house that, you know, 15 of them illegally, they may not call the police department. They may call the code officer, and you know, they may not want to be bullied by the guy who has all these extra people. And so I don't want to discourage somebody.
I think their anonymous complaints are anonymous to everybody but a certain number of people in town hall. And that's what we're trying to eliminate, is the false alarms, so that if somebody is complaining maliciously and harassing somebody,
correct,
that you know about it. And so you have a name. And so-and-so has complained 15, 20 times about something that doesn't exist, then you can turn around and say to the complainor that, you know, this is bogus, and, you know, there may be even a fine. There is fines for false alarms, I think, aren't there?
Yes, there are.
So you know, this is one of those situations where I think we ought to know, anybody who complains ought to know that, yes, you're accountable for your complaint.
I'm not disagreeing.
Is there a committee that can review this? Could it go to a committee?
Yeah.
Or a draft, for a better draft resolution?
I don't know what committee it would go to.
I mean, I guess if it's going to be limited to town hall, it should be personnel, I would think. Because
is that acceptable, Councilman Mullen? It go to a committee for a better draft?
I mean, I'm not.
That's fine. At least for a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll make a motion to move this to committee.
Take it to personnel.
Personnel.
Presley, are you okay?
Right in your room.
Okay.
All right. I'll
give you something to talk about.
That's fine.
You going to second it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll second that.
Well, actually,
do we have a second on the floor?
We actually had a motion on the floor, so
there
you.
No second. Gene, you have to.
I will withdraw my motion.
I think you had, Mrs. White, hadn't you seconded?
Yeah, no. Withdraw it a second.
Okay, it's withdrawn. Okay. Works for me.
Tell me to withdraw that. I'll withdraw it all.
Okay. All right, so Mr. Councilman Brown. And do we have a second?
Yeah, I second it.
Okay.
Councilman Chauvinet?
Aye.
Just to put a cap on it, because we do have a motion on the floor, I spent my entire law enforcement career answering harassment complaints. Okay, along with a lot of other stuff. And there is always, always, always a way to get a reporting person on the phone and get his name and address and telephone number. There is always a way. You can always talk him into it. You just got to spend a little time at it.
Well, I don't think we need to do that. I think what we need to say is your complaint isn't valid unless you give us your name and phone number, period. I mean, under the guise of...
Okay, I think we're beating a dead horse. I
think we've done that.
No, I think we...
Motion to take this to committee.
And I said aye.
Did you finish the vote?
No.
No. I said aye.
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 Are we voting on taking this to committee?
Yes.
Yes.
Aye.
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 Okay, good.
Okay. Committee appointments.
The materials on your table tonight were.
I'll make a motion. We accept the list of committee members that are in front of us. Somewhere. In here. I got one.
Somewhere.
I saw it.
I'll second it.
Discussion.
That's how I did it. I knew it was coming.
I'd just like to open the discussion. I found out that Kent County. I think a significantly larger body of people than we are has five committees. we have.
Well, we got it going on.
Yeah, we have 22.
That's why they're
now,
jealous.
I hope. You know what I hope is that we're not trying to establish our importance by how many committees we have. I feel that a lot of these committees could be. Put together. I wonder why we have committees of people who are not in our town. The audit committee, I believe, should be part of the finance committee. I think we have talented people. I think they are financially minded people, and they would be a great asset. If they want to be part of a committee, they'd be a great asset to the finance committee.
Yeah, can I answer these as you go along?
No, I'm just. That's part of my discussion. So. Okay.
The audit committee was recommended to me by the auditors. I met with the auditors the first week after I was sworn in, and they felt very strongly about this, and they said that most towns are doing this now. The audit review committee. Every person on this committee is either an accountant, has done accounting for a number of years, like myself. I've done accounting for 42 years. Every other person on there is
either very close to being a CPA. They understand what an auditor is talking about. This is what the auditors are looking for. The audit review committee would not have to meet as many times as the finance committee. They would meet with the auditors, and then they would go to the finance committee, and they would be what the auditors have requested. The audit review committee goes in between. They feel they can speak to these people on terms that they will understand, take a lot less time, and they can go back to the finance committee and explain it.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that I understand that they recommended it because they don't want to spend the time explaining, but that's their job, to explain to people who may not understand audits or the finances to our community. And the finance committee, to me, is part and parcel. I mean, that's their duty. I mean, isn't it?
No, it's entirely true. If you don't understand finances, you won't understand it.
Well, then what I'm saying is that we have a problem, don't we? We have a problem. Then if you don't understand finances, then the people in this audience will not understand what this town is doing. I think the auditors should be able to explain to the citizens of our town our budget and our expenses and our auditing techniques. It's sort of like saying, I'm only going to talk to doctors. Or other doctors. I have to talk to patients to explain to them what's going on. So,
but if you have to go to a specialist, you usually have to have your doctor refer you to a specialist.
Well, what I'm guessing, but the specialist, they come back to me and say, what did the specialist say?
Exactly.
What I'm saying.
The review committee will do.
Our finance committee should be. I think we have too many committees. I think our finance committee should include these people as maybe a subcommittee or whatever, but I don't think we shouldn't have it. Pardon me?
Subcommittee is still a committee.
Well, or a subgroup of people. I mean, what I'm saying is that they fall and become part of the finance committee and report to the finance committee.
Councilman Shervinak, I've been on finance committee for 2006 and 2007. Every single person that comes on the finance committee, and I think Jean and Valerie will back me up here, they look at the paperwork given by the town, and they both said to me that there's a number of things that they don't understand. If you don't do accounting on a regular basis, you don't understand it. I couldn't go in and write a prescription for somebody.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is, but you know what? People demand that they understand what the heck I'm saying to them. And I demand that, you know what, I'm not an auditor either. I'm not a finance person, but you know what, damn it. Excuse my French.
Hey, watch it down there.
I'm sorry. But darn it, I want to, for the people of this town, I want to be able to understand. I'm an elected official. I was given responsibility. I want to understand what they're saying.
You want to be able to explain it to them.
And so, guess what? Somebody comes up to me on the street. I want to be able to, why did you vote that way? What the heck are they doing up there? Well, then I can explain it to them.
Okay, well, let me ask you this.
But
These are volunteers. These people do not get paid one red cent. These are people from our town, which in the past I've heard over and over again, we cannot get volunteers. We cannot get volunteers. I have felt very fortunate that I've had so many people step forward, and I'm tickled to death with the people that have stepped forward with the qualifications that they've had. From what I've heard it said in the past, this is a first. And I tried to find spots for every single person that came forward. I think we should have as many citizens involved as possible. But this is one committee. You can fight me on any of the other committees. Well, there's two committees on here that I'll fight you on. This is one that I feel the auditors have asked for. I do accounting. I understand what they're saying, and I'm asking counsel for this committee.
I'm not fighting anybody about anything here. I'm discussing. And what I'm saying is that we have 22 committees. listed here, and
21 and four of them are. You might as well.
Are they all going to meet here in the town hall?
That's
up to the chairman.
Well, let me ask you: are they all going to meet here in the town hall? Are we going to pay staff to be here to write minutes? Are we going to pay? Carol's going to make a lot of overtime. I mean,
4 foot straight.
You know, it's always been. Wait a minute. Let me talk. It's always been that there has been two council members to each committee. And then you had three residents, where it made it anybody's allowed to come to these meetings and talk. But when it comes all the way down to the bottom line to send it to the council, you had five people make that decision. The more people you get in there, the more aggravation it gets. You know, you want them to come to there and speak their piece, but at the table, you have five people, and that's it. You know, on some of these committees, you've only got one council member. You know, and I think myself, if we're going to do this, start right up to the top. If we're going to accept this committee, yes, no, yes, no. And go on down to 21
okay,
months.
Let me just say a couple more things. Every single council person can come to any committee meeting. Every council person
mm-hmm.
should.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some meetings. I mean, if we had more than two council people on some of these committees, first off, you guys would be so worn out. Every single council person is on three committees, the way this is set up right now.
I'm
every
on two.
Single. No, you're not. You're on three.
You show me, unless my name is changed. I'm on two. You took me off finance. And that's fine because, you know, I still got a business. I still got a family. I'm not working 21 days.
What are you complaining about, then?
You got 21 meetings here. You want me to come to all these?
The last four, you might as well take those. Don't consider those town meetings.
Can I offer another suggestion is that that we have – I would roll audit into finance. I would hold on. I would delete all the ad hoc committees. I would, with the exception of the long range plan, I guess is, but all the committees outside the town. I would put the tree committee and the library committee in the cultural parks committee. Because
it's different.
It has to be commissioned by itself, according to the Tree City USA.
If you look at Kent County, their trees are in their parks and recreation.
Look, we're doing the tree thing, okay? Stay down there.
Hey, let me ask this. Can we go through this thing, the ones that we know we're going to pass?
Okay. Now, I want to say one more thing.
Now, wait a minute.
There are only two new committees on here. Actually, if you take the election board, we'll go over that in a minute. We already have an election board. They're just going to become an election committee for a while. So I have one new committee on this list that affects the councilmen, and that's it. There's one new committee.
But won't the Charter Review Committee, the Compensation Committee, and the Police Station Review Committee, those will disperse sooner,
yes.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Yes.
Within a year.
Yeah, anyway, so that's three gone.
All right, well, the other thing is, issue is I need to be removed from the Compensation Committee.
Why, that was your baby.
No, actually, the Charter Review Committee was my baby. And I also
we
proposed,
said,
but I did not want to be on that committee.
No, I think we said none of us were going to be on the committee.
That's correct.
Right.
That's
how
compensation.
No, can't you just be the chairman but not vote, though?
No. The charter
specifically
says that you can't be a member
election,
of the council.
You can't be on, yeah.
Okay.
We
and
agree.
I actually would rather be on the Charter Review Committee.
We'll take Doug Chervenak off of Compensation Committee. Make
Temple, we discussed this at the meeting, and we discussed that Temple was the chair.
Yes.
Because he had brought this up several years back.
Right.
And it was discussed.
Okay, let's start at the top.
Hold on a second, because everybody has had their say, and I'm going to get mine.
I haven't had mine.
And he hasn't had his. Number one, the Audit Review Committee. The Finance Committee is charged with reviewing the audit. That is their job. Now, if we're going to have a separate committee, then it needs to come under the Finance Committee. Quite frank, and Pat, I take great offense when you tell me I don't know anything about finance because I've worked my butt off for the last 2 years to understand the finances of this town. And I think this year, for the first time,
We have had an easy audit. It has gone very smoothly. We did a good job on the 2007 budget. In a lot of areas, we reduced it significantly. We're tracking everything. We finally have our capital projects improvements moving in a good direction that's not going to bankrupt the town. So when you tell me I don't understand finance, I do take offense at it. And I think the Finance Committee has all the necessary tools and people.
We had a good quorum, most of them.
On there that understand what's going on, and the ones that don't understand are still an advantage, because when you don't understand something, you ask questions. And when you ask questions, you get answers. And that's the way it ought to be. So, I mean, if we're going to have an audit committee, that's all well and good, but it definitely needs to be a subcommittee of the Finance Committee.
Well, however you want to do it. But
as far as, well, hold on a second. I'm not done yet. I'm sorry. The Business Development Committee. There is a name that's not on this list that definitely needs to be on this list. He has faithfully served this town for 15 years on the Business Development Committee, and that's Rick Downs. He cares about this town, and granted, I know he doesn't specifically live inside the town borders. His business is here, but
we don't require that.
No, we don't require that, and his name should be on this list.
Can you have more than five on the committee?
Yeah, sure. Oh, sure, we can have as many, as you want.
Just a
opposition.
There is one other comment I'd like to make. As far as the ad hoc committees for the county residents, it doesn't matter one way or the other to me. I'm not quite sure what that is.
If you're going to have a non-resident on business development, which I know Mr. Dance, I have nothing against him. I think he's, from what I hear, I haven't served on that committee. I heard he's done a very good job. But if you're going to have a non-resident serve on a committee, I don't want to hear anything about having. I wanted to do Newcastle County Residents Committee and a Kent County Residents Committee. This is two separate committees that will not even have a council person sitting on it. These will be committees in each of those areas for people that are connected to the town but are not in the town limits, as you want to put it for Mr. Downs. This gives them a chance to have a voice. They don't have a vote. They don't cost the town anything. It's a chance for them to get together and to have a voice. The way I look at it is they'll have a chairman, they'll have a group that if something comes up, they'll be able to come before the council, organized, somebody ready to speak to the council. And I think that we should reach out to our neighbors that are connected to us. They have every right, if they don't want to be part of the town in the limits, they have every right to that. But I want them to know that we're here for them also. They are a big part of our community. They shop here. They work here. Everything they do. Through Kent County, we do get money on the roads. We get some money for the roads. So, I mean, we do get money from these people. It's not like I've heard people say, well, they use our roads, they do this, they do that, but they don't pay anything. We do get money in some areas. So these are, and the way I see some of the councilmen acting, why would any of these people want to become part of our town the way they're being treated? But I feel very strongly about this, and I feel that they're not costing us anything. I would like very much to see them be able to have their committees and send a representative instead of 15, 20 people getting up at the microphone. We might have one or two.
I move that we adopt the committees one by one.
Yes.
Bill already said that.
I make a motion that we adopt these committees one by one.
We have a motion on the floor to accept the list. Ms. White made a motion. Mr. Brown seconded.
All right.
So we have a motion. So if you're going to...
I move that we close the vote.
I'll withdraw my motion.
The discussion is not done.
Yes, right. Larry, real fast before you talk. Rick Downs. He owns business. He owns property in town. That does benefit town. Even though he don't live here, he has a business in town that is in town limits. He owns property in town that does pay town taxes. So he is part of this town.
I tell you, it's tough being a new guy because you always get to speak last. But
you gotta speak faster.
And I feel the love in this room. Okay, first of all, the audit committee. The auditors work for the town of Smyrna. We represent the town of Smyrna as the council. And no offense, Madam Mayor, but is it a good idea to have the boss on the audit review committee?
Yeah, it's a check and a balance.
Well, I'm not sure. That's, well, in my opinion, that's. I mean, I have no problem with the audit review committee. I'm just not sure that the boss should be on the audit review committee for the people that are working for you. Just my view of things. And I agree it should be a part, a subcommittee of the finance committee. I look at this and I see a lot of committees, and I have some concerns, and I've expressed them to you privately about staff time, because we have a potential for overburdening the staff. And a perfect case in point is tonight we don't have the minutes of the last council meeting because one of the recording secretary was busy with planning and zoning minutes. So it has the potential for having a snowball effect.
There's one new committee.
Okay. The other point that I want to make is the ethics committee is not a committee. It's a commission. It's commissioned by ordinance, so we need to change that.
Okay.
All right.
And I don't know if on the ethics, why you brought that up, Roger Kelsey, who was chairman, notified me that he's going to be moving shortly, so he resigned. He sent me a letter. I have copies for everyone. So we have two.
But we rounded up with five.
Yeah, we ended up with five.
And let me say one last thing on the non-town committees, the Newcastle County, the Kent County. I think those folks certainly do deserve a voice. I'm not sure they need to be a committee because they're really problem-driven, if you will. And whenever they have a problem, they haven't been reluctant to bring things to council before. But certainly, you know, you're the mayor. You can appoint the committees with the concurrence of the council. And I'm not going to debate that any further. But I do have some concerns about staff time and basically locations to have meetings in.
Jay, as I said before, we have one new committee.
Let me ask you this. Where are the Newcastle County committees going to meet? Where are the Kent County committees going to meet?
That's up to them. They can meet in their homes. They can meet wherever they want.
Or they can
meet
downstairs.
When they want to bring something to council, they can bring it to council.
But if they use our public facilities, because they are now at a committee, then we are going to be responsible for the financial burden of that committee.
Is it possible that they provide their own minutes? I'm asking. I don't know.
When these people have a voice. They can come up to the mic every meeting that they have. If they pick one person, decides who's going to speak, they can speak twice a month.
I think that if they want to form their own committee, that's fine. Just like the Little League. I mean, you know, we don't pay for their meetings and that sort of thing. So if they want to meet, that's fine. But let's not appoint them as an official committee of the town of Smyrna.
Well, being an ad hoc committee, is that's not an official committee.
Yes, it is.
Mr. Hawk?
You're sanctioning the committee.
You're sanctioning it. I mean, it's not a standing committee of the town in the official sense that the finance committee, the personnel committee, those committees are. But you are sanctioning, you're recognizing it as having some legitimacy as part of the town.
Again,
for FOIA implications.
Right, there are.
Committees. So you would need to have control over posting agendas, keeping minutes, making those minutes available.
Excellent point. Excellent point.
Doug, do you want to go ahead and start right from the top?
Well, I move that we start at the top of the list and vote on them individually, each committee. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Aye.
Councilman Presley.
Aye.
Mayor Stonebaugh.
No.
We're voting on them individually, right?
Yep.
To vote, yes, aye.
Aye.
Sure. Sure, Vanek, aye.
No.
I'll never get the hang of this, I'm sorry.
It's
that's
okay. Right.
We're ahead or something.
Maybe we get our light switches.
Yeah. I have to grow up a little bit.
Put a band down. We need to vote on each committee.
Okay. First committee, Audit Review Committee.
As the way it is.
You want a motion?
No. We're voting on each committee. A motion. I say, Shervinak, no.
Aye.
Councilwoman White.
Aye.
No.
Aye.
Aye.
No.
Shervinak voted twice.
I voted twice?
Yeah, you did. I'm sorry.
No. You got my absentee ballot.
Did that pass or fail?
Passed.
I'm sorry.
It was 4-3. No, they recorded me twice.
Now, can I ask one more thing?
Board of Adjustments?
I want to clear everything up.
On that.
You feel that I should come off of there? Doesn't matter to me.
Councilman Shervinak, yes.
Yes.
If I can, let me make a comment on that matter, because I think I said this to you once before. Legally and technically, the auditors work for the council. They do not work for the town manager or the manager of business and accounting. They are your employee, you as a council. They are your consultant, just like the town engineer and the town attorney are technically your consultants, your representatives. I agree with whoever made the point. I don't believe that there should be a member of council, the mayor or anyone else, on the audit review committee. That's just because you ultimately are asking the auditors to give you their representation.
Okay.
That's
okay. So remove me. Remove me.
And I don't. It's not. There's no.
Okay.
I move that we make the audit review committee a subcommittee of the finance committee.
Second.
No.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
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 4-3. Subcommittee.
Yep.
Trish. Sorry.
It was Presley.
Can we do that again?
Presley,
please.
Thornton.
Councilwoman Brown.
No.
Councilwoman White.
No. Thanks.
Councilman Presley.
Yes.
Good job, though.
No.
Yes.
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 Okay.
So we have three now.
Yeah. Yeah. Can I suggest that you do Board of Adjustment and Planning and Zoning as a separately from this, because they are specific appointments by under a different set of provisions.
Election committee.
You want to do that on that?
There is no election.
There is no election committee.
Well, the election committee. The Board of Elections serves for a year, from basically their point of appointment to the election until the next time the Board of Elections is appointed. Correct.
Right.
That's my understanding.
Right.
So if what you're basically asking is that they continue to serve during the next year for purposes related to the election, then I don't think you need a motion or anything. They I mean, when they were appointed for the year. So their term expires next March.
Okay, well, the question that came up as them being an election commission, every time they met, they got paid. So they were looking to form a, Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, somebody gave me some wrong information then. I'm sorry.
If they do, I'm going to be one mad person. Because I got 21 meetings to go to this month.
Okay, what are we doing? Can we move along here?
Business
next year. We got the auditor to review that next year.
Okay, so then they're just okay to go on as a committee throughout this year to get all the stuff done with the state.
If the sense of the council is to ask the Board of Elections to serve in that capacity, I think that's all you have to do is basically ask the chairman. I don't think you need a motion or anything.
No.
Shall we ask them?
Work. No, don't. We thank you for your work.
We'll see you next March.
Okay, Business Development Committee, we're going to add Richard Downs.
So there'll be six on that committee?
Six on that committee.
Okay. I move we approve the Business Development Committee.
Second.
I don't think we need a motion for everything. It's
White?
Yes.
Presley?
Yes.
Speak louder.
Yes.
Thornton, Councilman Mullen, Councilman.
Yes.
Sullivan.
Yes.
Yay.
Councilman Brown.
I
told you I'll never get it right.
Right. Yes. What's that? Charter review.
I'm sorry. Charter review committee.
Just start with Bernie every time.
No. I'll start every time. I don't care. Are we ready?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
We need to remove the mayor from that committee.
From charter review?
Charter review.
Yes.
Charter
review. Why do we need to remove
him? She can't be in there.
And how many council people on there?
Does there have to be a councilman on there, though?
No.
No.
Okay.
Nobody can be on there.
See, they told me there had to be a councilman on everything in the tonight.
No, that's much,
okay.
That's a different committee.
I thought we were going to do yes or no here, not a motion on every one of them.
Okay.
Okay.
I thought that's what the plan was. See, it's been so long ago.
Okay.
That'll work
with me.
Yes on the charter review.
Yes.
Mayor Stonebaugh.
Yes.
Yes.
Just Mullen.
No.
Chairman, yes.
Brown, yes.
Okay, Compensation Committee.
Chervenak removed.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry that Mr. Ricker is on the Finance Committee, and I just need to confirm because the charter requires one member of the Compensation Committee be a member of the committee that is. Has primary oversight for the town budget. I just want to confirm that is finance.
So yes. Art Ricker can be the chair.
Yeah.
He is a member.
You know, they can figure it out themselves.
Of course, yeah.
No problem. We're not there.
Well, anymore. If it's got to be a finance, Art Ricker's on there, so he can be the chair of it.
Well, no, but Temple is.
He just has to be a member. They can figure it out.
I would suggest that all these committees that don't have a member of council as a chair elect their own chair.
Correct.
Right.
Okay. Compensation Committee, yes.
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 Jeez.
Parks and Recreation, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
What is ADA?
We have 8 people on that committee, but I think we all know from doing fundraisers that you can never have too many people.
Did he just say that?
This committee is planning some good things
out at the
Diabetic
Park, Association.
And they need all the help that they can get. Not everyone's available at all times, so I'm asking that all 8 of these people remain on the committee.
Yes.
I have a question on this committee.
It's not your vote.
Wait a minute. I have a question. Okay. Nobody up here seems to know what the heck ADA stands for. Does anybody know?
American Disability Act.
Oh. Thank you very much.
Dr. Chervenak.
I thought it meant the American Diabetic Association.
That too.
American Dental Association. You're right.
The American Dental Association.
I'm the only council member on it.
Yeah, I said yes for the Cultural That's Parks right. Committee.
Oh. Gallery said yes. Bill?
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Mr. Mullen?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Ethics Committee or Commission? Change that to Commission.
If it's a commission, do we vote on it?
Yes, because you have new members on it.
Now, are these members appointed for a year, or are they?
No, they have.
She has
five members voted for staggered terms, and I think it's 5 years each.
I think it is, too.
It's a term of 5 years. The terms have to be staggered, but the last council, when they appointed people to it, agreed that they would have a lottery among the members to determine how the terms would be staggered. So these folks can do the same thing.
But we have one on there that wasn't on it before.
Nancy and Chris.
Or two, actually, yeah. Nancy, Sharon.
So we have to vote on them.
Lisa Ash. So
right.
Right.
Well, Lisa was on
only one went off. Only Judge Kelsey resigned. So right. We should have had...
And I resigned.
You resigned.
Right.
Cool. Thank you. Okay.
Got it now.
So, yes to adding Nancy, Sharon, and Christopher Mann to the Ethics Commission.
Councilman Presley?
No.
Yes.
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 Mr. Brown?
Yes.
Finance Committee?
Yes on the Finance Committee.
Yes.
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 Oh, I'm sorry. Can we stop for a minute? There's a correction on there. It's Len Ripa, not Len.
Oh, okay.
Lillian. I'm sorry. That should be
okay.
Change anybody's mind?
No.
It looks good to me.
These committees that have even numbers, you have the possibility of having a tie vote.
That's why we had five.
Right, exactly. That's why.
Well, that.
Okay, since I got kicked off the two committees, put me back on that one.
Then it's seven.
That's okay.
No, I guess what I'm saying is, so you have a tie vote. Remember, it doesn't matter if they have a tie vote. I mean, it goes to council with the tie vote.
A recommendation.
Right, so I voted yes.
I'd like to go back on.
Can we start this vote over, please? Councilman Brown.
Is this with Pat Stump, with the mayor on?
It's as.
Yes. Yes.
No.
Yes.
Mr. Presley.
Wait a minute.
I voted yes.
Wait a minute. Let's start over. Pat, are you going to be on this thing?
Yes.
Pat, okay. The mayor is going to be on here. Start that vote again.
Okay.
Yes.
Councilman Brown. Councilwoman White.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Wait, you've got to give me time to write in between there. Mr. Thornton.
Yes.
Councilman Bowen.
No.
Councilman Chervenak.
No.
Fails.
Okay.
So now what do we do?
You amend the committee and try it again, I guess.
Yes, with the change of Lenny Ripa from Lillian to Len.
If they remove Len.
And that still gives you.
That still gives you six. Yeah.
All right, I can still come to the meetings. Take me off and take Lenny off.
Ripper's off and you off.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
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 No.
Ad hoc library planning committee.
Yes.
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 Yes. can I make a motion that
we're not making a motion. It's yes or no.
No. Long range planning, personnel. Planning and zoning, police station review, public safety committee, free committee, utility committee, be voted on in block.
Yes, second.
So are we thirsty up here, are we?
Well, something's happening, yeah. I'll second that motion.
We have a second. for that motion?
Yeah. I seconded it.
Lord seconded it.
Okay.
Roll call.
Roll call.
Councilman Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
Councilwoman White. Yeah.
Yes.
Mayor Stonewall.
Yes.
Councilman Thornton.
Yes.
I know I'm supposed to vote, but I have a comment. Public Safety Committee. I had a very strong objection. I've since tempered my objection. Councilman Brown, you are an active police officer in the next town over.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to publicly caution you. You are on the Public Safety Committee. It could have an effect on your position, not only on the council, but also in the Clayton Police Department. So I just wanted to...
To air your objection, I've consulted an attorney on that, and they said there is no implication. So, and I can have attorney draw a letter up for you if you would like to
no.
see.
Okay. No, I just wanted to just basically tell you to be cautious.
Thank you for your...
Did you vote?
Yes. I'm sorry. Yes.
Councilman Sherbert.
Yes.
Oof.
It leaves us with the ad hoc committees.
And the Board of Adjustment.
Board of Adjustment Planning.
Right.
I make a motion we block vote on the ad hoc committees.
I second that motion.
Yes.
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 This is a, yeah, I mean.
This is the vote in block.
We're accepting what's on here.
Accepting Newcastle County and Kent County.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait a minute.
That's what it was, in block.
Yeah, in block.
To accept these committees and the people.
You made a motion to what?
I made a motion to move to vote in block.
Yes.
To vote in block, not
you're
to accept.
You're voting in block for these. Okay.
In block. So now.
To accept them.
I said to vote.
Vote to them all together. Okay.
Yeah, we're voting to vote as a block.
Yes.
In block.
Yes.
Right. Are you voting on these committee recommendations?
No, we're just going
to do it in a lump.
Just to do it in a lump, correct.
Okay, can we hold up there for a minute?
We're voting as a lump. So
wait a minute. I want to take off the last four ad hoc committees.
The junior secretarial and the...
Yes, because when our council just mentioned some of the legal ratifications, I think it's best.
So you're withdrawing those committees?
Yes.
Then I withdraw my motion.
Yes, I withdraw mine.
Okay.
Planning and zoning.
That just leaves the...
Yeah. Then planning and zoning is...
Board of...
Now, wait. Long-range planning ad hoc. Did we do that one?
Yeah, we did that.
Yeah, we approved that.
Everything else.
All the way down to utility.
Okay. Board of Adjustments and Planning and Zoning. I have a question for council. I was told that both of these are appointed staggered terms. Then I was told by past councilmen that planning and zoning should be a committee like our other committees, that the Board of Adjustments is the only one that...
In state law, you can't.
It's required by law. You can't. You can't make it. It's a commission.
Mm-hmm. The state statute. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to be sure.
That you do that.
Just wanted to be sure.
All right.
Okay, Board of Adjustments. We added a new person, Robert Noonan, who is Biff Noonan, who is the past mayor, in place of Temple Carter's term expired in April.
Yes, on the Board of Adjustments.
Is that the only person we're adding?
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes.
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 Thornton, Councilman Muller.
Yes.
Yes.
The last one. Planning and zoning. Planning and zoning. Rodney Slaughter's term expired in April, and I have Keith Faulkner, past councilman, to replace.
Yes, I'm planning and zoning.
I didn't get planned. Okay, that's okay.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. No.
Just one. Gaynor's first name is Joe.
Joe. Okay, I didn't have his name.
Yes.
Yes.
No.
Now the town can move on.
Well, I hope so.
Okay, grant awards.
If you'll go in your packet to the minutes of the Finance Committee, the last page of the minutes, the Finance Committee meeting of May the 8th, was that, Gene?
May 8th?
Yeah, has the actual awards that were approved.
And after long deliberation with all the grant requesters, the committee decided on what's in your packet.
I'll make a motion to accept the grant awards for 2007.
Yes.
Make a motion to accept the grant awards for 2007.
A second.
As recommended.
Discussion. Recommended.
Discussion. One thing I'd like to say is a lot of the, we had $170,000 worth of requests and grants this year. It was impossible for us to grant all of them. So we found that some of the museums and some of the different places that had town electric, instead of being able to give them money, what we did, they're on a commercial rate. We're going to give them a grant through the electric. How would you explain that?
But I thought we were going to bring it back first.
Those aren't in this one.
We're going to explore that.
Before we do that, because we might be giving them everything.
Okay.
Just to clarify that, some of the organizations were not clear on the electric rate that they're getting, and different rates, different costs. So what we're going to do is we're going to look at the Boys and Girls Club and things like that and find out what rate they're paying and possibly give them the lower rate.
That's a good word, possible.
And this year we did it a lot different. They filed their paperwork, and then they had to come in one night before the committee and do an interview in front of the committee. And we're trying to put more policy in place before we give money out.
I have a comment. I'm looking at the grants that were requested, and then I look at the grants that were recommended. My problem is that we have a lot of constituent groups in this town. And we're giving grants to a certain segment of our population, certain segments. I feel that we ought to look very, very hard, about the whole grant program in general, because I'm looking at this, and basically we're appealing to the youth of the town. Worthy cause. But we have elderly in the town. We have other constituent groups in the town, and I think we're singling out certain organizations. Again, everyone that requested a grant is worthy, but I think because we're expending taxpayers' money, we're giving certain segments and not to others. I don't know if that's our role as a council.
Well, we did spend a lot of time trying to decide who, what, and...
Oh, I'm sure you did.
And if any, and we did discuss it several times, and not all of us agreed on a lot of things, because it is the taxpayers' money, and we did look at the types of different groups that were asking for money, and again, the electric was brought up to compensate them in a different way. Some of these go back to tradition, and that's where they originally came from, is that the town has just always contributed to these particular things.
But the bottom line, Doug, was a lot of them did not come in with the paperwork or the information to back it up.
Well, I guess what I'm saying is that then that's a bureaucratic problem, not a a political, meaning that do we as a council decide where our taxpayer money is going when the taxpayers really don't have a role in deciding where their money is going? We do.
Well, no.
And what I'm saying is that if we just didn't have the grant program at all, and we wished every organization well, and we recognized their positive impact on our town, but then we don't have to deal with the issue of, well, why didn't we do this, and why didn't we give to that, and that sort of thing.
But as a council, as a town, we got to get back to our community, too. And like with the baseball and a little less, we did that because the town does not have a full-time arts person. So we said, look, we'll give you $1,000, and you go handle getting some kids together.
Well, what
the
about
town don't
well,
have
I mean,
that.
There's
I mean, there's ways
of,
to get around
a lot
it.
Of history in this in these grants, and these
but
grants
you still
have been
get back to
given out for 25 years. What we did is we requested that everyone that came in to request a grant submit something on how they were functioning, something on their finances, what impact that they had on the town. And basically what we did was we picked the associations that had the greatest impact on the greatest number of people in the town. They're traditional. For the most part, we have given money to them every year for quite a few years. Is it going to occur? Is it going to keep on occurring? I don't know. In 2008, we might not have a grant program.
Councilman Shermanek, that was one of the questions, was accountability once the money left. That I had the same almost the same concerns. Like, when we give this money, it just leaves, and there's no accountability for where it goes on the grant program. So that was brought up by Councilman Mullins, that the whole process needs to be reviewed in general, and if it's not worthy to even have a grant program because there's no accountability at this point once the dollar leaves the town.
Well, I mean, I understand the intentions. I really do, and I think they're good intentions. I see a problem with, again, trying to decide who gets what and how much, and because of that, the issue of, I mean, maybe we should put, since most of these programs involve parks and recreation, maybe we should put a full-time parks and recreation person back in our budget, which we had, who then...
Which we still have.
Which never worked, and which our advisor told us do not hire any more people.
But we never had a full-time.
Well,
we've always had a part-time.
I guess what I'm saying is that because certain things didn't work in the past, that doesn't mean they can't work in the future. But the idea is... then we have accountability. Then we know where the money's going. Then we have taxpayers' control over the where the money is going and what the money is doing. And I bring this up again because I feel I represent taxpaying citizens of the town, and not everyone participates in Little Last or the Pop Warner Football League. Nor do they benefit from it. So
I think these are all things that we need to discuss in a committee meeting. And,
okay.
We need to move on tonight.
Well, are you going to grant the awards or not?
Call the question.
Call the question.
Councilman Brown.
Yes.
Was there a motion?
Yes.
Yeah. Brown.
Yes.
They will.
Councilwoman White.
No.
Yes.
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 Okay. We're back to the refer to Planning and Zoning Commission amendment to...
This is another part of this continuing review and rewriting of the land development and zoning ordinance. What's requested of council tonight is to refer this draft of an ordinance amendment which deals with home occupation for review by planning and zoning.
No. I make a motion. Okay. Excuse me. Okay.
Home occupations.
We need it's a horribly written.
We need a motion to send to planning and zoning.
I got a motion that we send the ordinance to planning and zoning.
Second.
Discussion. As is, I read through this, and I just can't in good faith send this the way it's written. If you read the way this is written, two family members can't have their own personal business.
I think we're talking about not the essence, but whether or not we're sending it to planning and zoning.
Even if you send it as, that's what I'm saying, even if we send it as is.
Well, guess what?
No, but that's
then,
what it
then
is.
That's,
it's a draft.
Then that's, it's a draft. So absolutely, you can attend planning and zoning, send your written comments, and they will digest them.
Okay.
That's all we're voting on right now.
Okay.
Brown?
No.
Hmm? Are we voting now?
Yes. You're voting to send it to planning and zoning.
And it will come back to council?
Yeah, it'll come back.
Yes.
Hey, okay.
Yes.
Yes.
It'll come back with three readings, so you can make the changes.
No.
It comes back for
a public hearing and a reading. It's a zoning. It's a text amendment to the zoning.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No.
Yes.
Yes.
Burn.
Okay. Motion passes. Recommendation of election board reference voter fraud.
I'm bringing this up to council because of the statements made by our chairman of the election commission. I think that there is, and they voted on recommending to council that we look into the certain situations of the last election, that voter fraud was probably committed. I'm not going to make a judgment. That's not my point right now. But I think what I would move is that the council send this to the Attorney General for investigation, with our highest recommendation that the Attorney General look into this matter. We've recommended other times other things to the Attorney General, and I think that this is a very important matter that needs to be looked into. So I recommend, I move that.
Is that a motion?
That's a motion, that we send this matter to the Attorney General.
Second.
Discussion. I agree. Mrs. Miller, I agree. I was there when the four of them got up there and said what they said. But do we really want to go through this? What's done is done. It's over. This council is who we are now, not who we were before. And although, you know, things can happen, do we need to drag Smyrna into something all over again?
Do you condone?
I don't think we do, because we're going to start all over again from all the other stuff that happened before. And oh, look, it's Smyrna in the paper again.
Okay, well, let me ask a question. Do you condone somebody running a stop sign? Do you condone
what happened?
Then if it is the law, it is the law. If somebody broke the law, then they broke the law, and it needs to be investigated. Quite frankly, I don't know if a state law has been broken. And given my experience, which I trump everybody else on this panel, I can tell you the Attorney General might not accept it. But until we present it to them, we'll never know. So,
and
if our Board of Elections feel that voter fraud occurred and they feel strongly enough about it, then we need to investigate it. And the only person to investigate it is the Attorney General.
Well, let's not get hung up on voter fraud. Basically, let me read a definition of perjury. Perjury in the first degree is a Class D felony. A person is guilty of perjury in the first degree when the person swears falsely and when the false statement consists of testimony and is material to the action, proceeding, or matter in which it is made.
I stand corrected.
Okay. That's a violation of law.
Yes, it is.
So I don't think you want to get hung up on voter fraud. If the elements of perjury are there, then it's a crime. And the Attorney General's office is the appropriate office to look into it.
And is it the council or is it the Board of Election? I can't find anything in the
Board of Election has recommended council.
The Board of Election has recommended the council to take some action. I think it's up to the council to take a vote and if we decide that we want this thing investigated, then we, through official channels, contact the Attorney General's office. They can say we're not going to go near it.
Councilman, Mr. Hogg, can I ask the town attorney a question?
Yes.
Are there legal repercussions to this council if they send us to the AG's office, it's unfounded, and then these four individuals come back? Can they sue the council for slander, for defamation of character, or negligence?
Well, you can sue anybody for anything.
So our names will go before
and we can be sued collectively for those possible damages, civilly.
Like I said, anyone can file
a
suit.
As a counsel, I thought we were protected as counsel.
No.
The suit can be filed.
May I ask a question?
No.
Why did the counsel have a lawyer take everything if you didn't want to go through with something, if something was wrong?
We ain't took a vote yet.
I do believe, Bernie, that, I mean, what... An investigation is just that, an investigation. Nobody's being accused of anything. And until that investigation is completed, then there isn't any liability to this counsel.
No, it's one thing for a law enforcement agency to open a criminal investigation. I would feel more comfortable if the police department referred it. Because us as a counsel referring this to the AG's office, there is a backdoor for civil repercussion against this counsel.
This is not the first time that we've referred something to the AG.
And it's not the first time.
And it's not the...
Dr. Sherman, I mean...
And all I'm saying to you is this. We have a history here that we have to make correct. We have to establish for the public that our voting has integrity.
And I agree.
And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about whether the town of Smyrna has an election, and we will continue to have elections with integrity.
If it's a criminal matter.
Now, wait. All we're doing is taking the recommendations of our election board. We're referring this on to the AG. And guess what? Whether the AG finds something or not, if they find nothing, what are we being sued for because they find nothing?
Is it possible that these four people...
It's possible, you know what, it's possible that anyone can sue anyone for anything. And you know that as well as I. So,
right.
But what I'm saying is for us to back down from recommending to the AG because we feel, and the election board feels, that something went amiss here. That some people committed perjury, and we want to send a message to the voters. Because you know what? 2 years ago, we had one of the most flawed elections I've ever experienced in my life. And this town does not want to go through that again, ever. And we want to send a message, don't do it.
If there's probable cause, the police department should be the agency that sends...
Let me ask you something. Let me tell you something, Mr. Brown. My first council meeting, we had a mayor who clearly violated our town ordinances. Clearly, without question. I asked the attorney, what are the penalties for violating ordinances of our town? Zero. I asked our police chief, there's a man who violated the ordinance, the laws of our town. What will you do about it? Nothing. I am saying to you, the only person who can do this without any political baggage is the AG, period.
Mr. Young, did you have something you wanted to come up? You have to come up to the microphone. While he's coming up, I just want to make one comment. It's very sad that it has to get to this point. What disturbs me is that someone would put themselves and their family and their friends in this position for one vote. You know, what was exposed about the son, most people would have never even known if the parents hadn't have put their child in that position. For one vote, I think it's really, really a sad situation.
Well, I mean, it's not our place here to make any judgments on it. I strongly suggest that the council don't give any more opinions that the vote is called and we either send this to the AG or we don't.
And Mr. Young is chairman of the BOE, and he has something he'd like to ask.
I just want to mention that, Madam Mayor, we serve at the pleasure of the mayor and the council. We're elected by the mayor and the council. Our job was to see that an honest election was done and done properly. The lawyer's office, I hope, still has the tapes from when we ran the absentee ballots. Those would be the tapes that I would recommend the council, along with the lawyer that was there with us, review, because those are the tapes that would be questioned by the Attorney General's office when they swore under oath to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. The decision lies with the mayor and the council, because it is you that have appointed us. We are merely bringing it to your attention. The decision as to what you do from here lies with you completely. We have done our job.
Mr. Young, I have a question.
It's very frustrating for you, because I know how hard you all worked, and you all worked in good faith. And I know that most of the people on that board wouldn't bring it to us if they didn't feel that an injustice had been done.
Correct.
Now, Mr. Young, what's going to be your recommendation for the two people who identify themselves as the mayor's challengers?
And let me correct something right
now.
No,
I asked Mr. Young a question.
I'm going to correct that right now, because they were, one was my challenger, one was not.
And when the tapes show that both of them identified themselves,
what? But they weren't. All day long.
Then what, though?
All day long.
Are you going to recommend that anything then?
You've asked me a question. Will you give me a chance to answer, sir? In all due respect, please. All day long, we had four challengers on the floor of the election room. Four challengers sitting at the table.
I recall five initially. One had
no,
to be
sir.
Excused.
We had four.
Barbara,
we had a fifth one. We had a fifth one that came in there that wasn't supposed to be in there. It was Barbara Alsap. Barbara also went out in the lobby and was on her cell phone in the lobby, which was not allowed. And I had to take her and put her out in the street because of that. Therefore, we only had four, and four only, the whole day long that were there representing. We had two candidates running that did not have any setting at all. So the four that were there were not, they were all for different people.
If the transcripts show differently, then what? That's my question.
Nothing. Because
wrong.
Because what?
All right. Okay. This doesn't have anything to do with tonight. We'll have to address this later on. And
they each represented a different person that morning when they came in. And they were recorded on the tape that morning for the people that
Mr. Young,
people that
if
they
I review those tapes and it's different than what you're saying, I'm going to hold you accountable.
Madam Mayor, we have
yes, I will be accountable then, Mr. Brown. Okay.
I'm sorry. This
I mean, my integrity at the age of 69 in my lifetime, I have served with my public and I have served my country well. And I have nothing. I have 21 years out here in the prison system where I served as a lieutenant. So if you have a problem with me, sir, that's okay.
Okay. We'll address this, Bernard, later on. We'll address this part of it. This is not what's on the agenda tonight. We need to address what's on the agenda tonight. I need a motion.
You have a motion on the floor.
I have a motion.
In a second. Call the question.
Okay. Vote, please.
Councilman Brown?
No.
I abstain.
No.
Wait a minute. Does she have to say why she abstains?
I don't know. Councilman Presley?
No.
Yes.
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 Two no's and one abstaining.
Four. I hope you guys are ready to pay the lawsuit out.
Okay, next.
Next.
Okay.
We need to decide whether or not we're going to have our attorney write it up and send it to the AG, or who's going to do it.
Whoever brought the motion up, make the decision.
I will. I mean, we voted for it.
Right. I suggest that Erica and I talk to Mr. Barrows tomorrow and determine who the appropriate person is. It may very well be Tom, since he was there.
Yes.
But if not, I've acted on behalf of the town to send things, so I can do it as well.
Okay, under new business, Arbor Day proclamation.
I excitedly move that we adopt the Arbor Day proclamation.
Have a second?
Second.
Discussion. Vote.
Yes.
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 Yes. Yes.
Councilman Mullen.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay, resolution to accept street Green Branch Lane from Providence Drive to existing continuation of Green Branch Lane.
This is very confusing.
It's from Providence. It's Providence Lane from Greens Branch to Greens Branch, basically.
So it's that section of Schoolhouse Village.
Yeah.
That,
right.
Okay.
That is Green Branch. Right.
I move to accept the street from Green Branch to Green Branch, which is called Providence Drive.
I'll second it for discussion.
Discussion.
Do we have a geotechnical report on this section of Providence Drive?
We do not. We have an engineer's report. We have our engineer's investigation, our town staff review, as-built plans, a bill of sale, a deed, and a release of liens, which is all we have traditionally asked for. The street has been completed for some time now. We have not in the past asked for geotechnical reports on streets.
Just for the council's information, this street, a section about 100 feet long, was undercut to 30 feet in the middle of winter by the contractor and backfilled with snow, ice, and dirt. So, I don't know what to tell you.
Do we have proof of it?
I was there when it was done. I know the contractor. It was Greenway Construction. I watched him do it on several jobs during that winter. I can tell you he had a soft spot in the road. He kept on digging and kept on digging, and supposedly he hauled in clean backfill. Well, we happened to have a 2-foot snow during the week, and that road base. Almost as far as a 926 can reach, was about 25 feet in the ground.
Who's the contractor?
Leonard Van Lenten.
Do you want to table it?
I hate reports. I hate to keep doing this, but the bottom line is, we're not getting the information that we need, and I cannot, in all good conscience, 5-10 years from now. The town's got to go back in there and spend $100,000 rebuilding that street when, it should have been done right in the first place. I'm sorry, but I can't do it.
Dave, does our inspectors, just like a code enforcer, does he have a report on these when he goes out and does inspections? Does he give a report?
Yeah, he does.
So we have reports that show this?
Yes. I mean, it was done 3 years ago.
Yeah, at least. At least 3 years ago.
I don't mind. I will make a motion to table it, but before I make a decision, I would like to see a report saying that this was done. That or
when
some way
you.
Table? Yeah, because I don't want to say this contractor did something that with nobody knowing what he's done it except for Gene.
I'll make a motion.
I don't know what to tell you because I know what I saw.
That's what I'm saying, Gene, but I don't want to say something about this man with a...
Well, I mean, I don't either.
We should have, town should be making reports. That's what we got an inspector right there that reports to Darryl that should be, just like a building inspector. You failed, he gives you a red sticker. At least there's a paper trail somewhere saying Darryl was out there, and I know Darryl's before your time, but, still, it's got to have some kind of paper report. If not, our inspector, he could be sleeping down the corner, and we don't even know what he's doing. I'll table it until we... I'll make a motion.
You got a motion. You got a motion on the floor right now to accept.
I got a motion to accept. And I'll say no. I'll withdraw it.
Okay.
I'll withdraw, and then... I move that we table it.
I'll make a motion to table it.
I'll second it.
Yes.
Wait a minute. Okay.
Are you thoroughly confused?
He withdrew.
Mr. Presley made a motion to table.
To table it.
Right. And I second it.
Thank you.
Yes.
Blame it on me.
Yes.
No, blame it on me.
Yes.
It's all your fault, damn it.
Yes. Councilman Thornton. Yes. Councilman Bowen.
Yes.
Yes.
Other council business.
I have other council business.
Go, Valerie.
Hey, I didn't drag this meeting on really fast. Mr. Hugg,
Yes, ma'am. We're trying to figure out what this device
is.
Yes.
Oh, it's an elbow out of a transformer, sir. Mr.
In case
somebody,
you
it's blow up an air mattress.
The question.
I thought this could have been an explosive device. Somebody didn't like it. But it's an elbow out of a transformer.
Mr. Evans brought that for you,
had
so
that
you
question.
Would
yes, I did, and I really appreciate you bringing this in. This is an elbow out of a transformer, ladies and gentlemen.
You
thank
can,
you.
You can take it home and make a lamp
out of it. No, I'm going to give it back. Taxpayers
okay,
pay for this.
Come on.
Yeah, I have a question about the lawns. There is a house directly behind me that the for sale sign is gone, but the lawn is this high.
Have you called code enforcement?
No, I didn't know who to call or how it was handled, because two doors down, there's another house.
Just keep
emailing
Dave.
I have bunnies in my yard now, so I didn't know what was supposed to...
What's wrong with bunnies? They're cute.
My dogs are going to eat the bunnies.
Call a farmer. They could be a...
So just call town and tell them?
Call
your name.
I'll call and complain.
Three, four,
oh, no, I'll leave my name. Don't worry.
3486. Give them the street, the house number. And
who is responsible for this?
The code enforcement officer will follow up. And if it isn't corrected, then we'll cut it and send them a bill.
Thank you. I'm done.
I have one thing for the good of the order. I recluse myself from a vote on a subdivision. And I want everybody to be very, very clear. When a member of council cannot act fairly and without prejudice, they must recluse themselves, whether for or against whatever comes up for the vote or whatever. A lot of people had a lot of questions, and I took a lot of heat for it. And I just I don't have anything to gain because the project got approved or not approved or anything else. But I could not make a fair and non-prejudiced decision. So that's the reason I recluse myself. And I would hope every member of council would do exactly the same thing when they can't reach a decision. Thank you.
Have a motion to adjourn?
I'm not going to recuse myself from the motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
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 Aye.
Second.
Aye.
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 Mr. Evans, that looks like an expensive piece of...
That's a good one, man. I like that. I love that.
There you go.
Earwax
removal.
There you go.
Yeah.
That was it. That was funny.
Hey. Thank you.
Tell him that.
Yeah, I love it.
Ask another question.
Don't go
away.
You got to sign.
That's not why I'm here. Yes. Yeah. I thought it was something in the exhaust.
Hey, Bill.
That's why I'm saying.
Where'd Bill go? She got some paper for us.
Oh, okay.
Well,
yeah. I mean, you know how many times I sign my name each day?
That's where what blows the transfer.
He didn't sign that one.
I don't sign
that. Nah, yeah, he didn't sign that one. Only where it says vice mayor.
Yeah.
What a meeting.
Dave. Presley has to sign something. Give that Mr. Presley's next.
I'm
serious. Are you leaving?
Okay.
No.
Don't give him a shape.
I hope.
That's what I was thinking too. Okay.
Yeah, well, I called and told George I was going to tell them. Okay.
No, I don't think so either.
You're on.
That's how bad it
was. I've done that before.
Understand why.
But what I'll actually do is find motion.
So I need a first name.
I have to look it up. Well, the other thing is,
he's ready for you on the end.
Well, I might have to
do it. I want to go home and go to bed.
Respond.
Hey, honey,
buddy.
How are you?
Little
baby.
I'm hanging in there. How are you, wife? She's doing good. I will. I'll be talking to her momentarily. She's down in Florida doing training for people. She's down in Gainesville. I just got back this morning. Well, darn. I should have said that. I said hi to him for you.
Yeah, you would have had it done with them.
I bet I would.
You would have had a great time.
I bet.
Yeah,
you would have had
a great time.
Okay, see you, Bill.
So you calling in? Can you remember that for tomorrow?
I'll call
Mom. I don't think he will.
Hey, Doc.
Because this is as specific as you can get.
Give excuses.
Well,
I know, but
when hey,
I...
Hey, Doc. How you doing, man?
But we got to do the right thing. We got to set an example.
Very good. Oh, where the heck did Gene Holmes?
The chief of
all. He can't do that.
I don't know why not. I would, Dave.
That's terrible. A whole bunch of
stuff.
We're not going to sign this stuff.
They didn't go after the senator from the state.
Okay, I was just trying.
What time you got